Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
He's just a face painted on a smile, jumping up and down and making people happy. So deep inside the shadow, he could let the neighbor know there's a love.
I know I sent out on my ding it was August 30th.
But that's all right.
Because
it feels like August.
It feels
10th.
Like.
Wait. It's been the longest week.
Oh, please. I have had so – my sciatica was acting up again.
But it sounds so pleasant.
Oh, God, my sad.
Everybody wants
it. Well, we're going to talk about that story. But first, we are going to say, that's all your food now.
It's like there's some pizza going on there.
Yeah, he got pizza in his mouth.
That's okay. You, you can share.
Okay, say your name. What's your name?
My name is Blake.
Lawson Moore.
Moore.
Okay.
Well, hello, Blake.
And we want to say what? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Thomas.
That's me.
Happy birthday to you. Yay! We have a, it's, where's our, and I didn't set it up, you see, we have a, protocol here. When we have birthdays, we have these protocols with the different noises and they have this it never seems. I'm glad we did that because I am not. This thing is just killing me. It's just killing me. Some of these are working, and some don't. Right now we're having a problem with. With Google. Google is not picking up. I can't do my my board. So that means I have to go in on Blog Talk Radio. I mean, not Blog Talk Radio, on a...
That's right. We're live on Blog Talk
Mozilla. Radio. Mozilla? It's not Mozilla.
Corn Oil?
What? Fox. Yeah, so that's what I'm doing now, and they can move this over. We can... Boy, but that's not letting me in either. This is just so unbelievable. There it is. Anyway, so happy birthday, Thomas. We miss you. You know what?
Thank you.
You share the same birthday with my wife's sister.
Oh.
And who? Who else? Come here. Say it on the air.
My dog.
What's his name?
Tyson.
And who's older, Tyson or Thomas?
Tyson.
Oh, yeah? Well, that's in dog years, though, right?
Probably.
In dog years, he's 70.
Oh, so he's 10 years old?
I know that.
Yes, I know that. Okay,
he's
go back to your
piece. Just a little bit older than
just
I.
Just a little bit older. But not much older. Come on, please. Let's see. What are you in dog years?
300? Yeah.
Give me a break. Well, anyway, this
they
is all the story.
They pulled me out of the La Brea tar pits.
They pulled you out of the La Brea tar pits? Give me a break.
I was riding my T-Rex.
You were riding your T-Rex. Oh, you mean like that guy?
Just like the at the Creation Museum.
That's
me and Jesus.
You well,
little friend.
I tell you, this has really been a incredible week. Let's see. I'm gonna go to my studio. Let's see how my studio works with Mozilla. Because Mozilla, why take him Mozilla?
Because it's a good corner.
It's, it's a Firefox, but they use what they use.
I have no idea.
See, all right, I'm gonna call it. They call it Mozilla Firefox.
Oh, yeah.
M O Z I L L.
Mozilla.
All right, Mozilla, please, come on. Give me
just
a
call it Firefox.
They call it Firefox? Well, that's fine. But anyway, we're going to have a great time today because we have...
We're going to travel from...
We're going to travel from...
Ferguson to the Ukraine.
Ferguson. Oh
to the
God.
Congo.
Ferguson.
The depths of the jungle.
But we just want to say that...
No, we did have some cool astronomy news.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, I had all that, and I was going to play some of that. But the thing is that we have so much other stuff
I mean, we never have time for any of
this. We never have time. What we're going to do now is the first, you know, I don't even know who's coming on. Oh, I was supposed to.
You know who?
I was supposed to pick somebody.
I watched the other night.
Yeah, who did you watch the other night?
As I was laying
there,
retiring for the evening.
Mm-hmm.
On some upper channel, 600 something, I ran across the $6 million man.
Oh, my God.
No lie. I was so happy. It was a blast from childhood. It was pretty awesome, got to tell you. But me and Steve Austin, we hung out together, had some adventures, made some noises.
Blake, you know the $6 million man? You seen that? You like
bionic
it?
Eye, bionic arm, bionic leg. When he runs, he goes, dun, 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 dun. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Do you really like him? Like, why? Well, then you're going to like the new series that's coming on called The Flash.
The Flash. That's right.
It's coming on the same channel as Arrow.
And what channel would that be?
Something Z. What is it?
That's that Warner Brothers channel.
Is that the Warner Brothers channel?
Isn't it?
Let's just look it up here. Will you see it's
Oh, the new Doctor. I forgot about
that. Oh, yeah. I liked it.
Out.
Did you see it?
I did not.
I have it on here. So you see the new Doctor. I liked him. And what they did was he came out all confused.
Mm-hmm.
That he didn't know who he was. He's older. And he says, he doesn't know what he could do, but he knew something. He had to do something. And where's his arrow right here? Well, I got so much stuff on here, I just can't. Let's see, we're doing my arrow. There's arrow. Okay. So what is it? WCCC. They changed it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They changed the name.
They changed the station, WCCB.
Yeah.
Yep, that's it. Anyway.
There's the WB. Yeah, come on.
Yeah, it is the Waterburn channel. But anyway,
but
so
yeah, that was they are doing a good thing though. DC, see, Marvel needs to wake up and get their heroes on the air. I mean, they've got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, see,
that's it.
Yeah,
they need all.
No, but aren't they doing? Well, who's Batman is?
Yeah, it's DC though. See, DC is doing a great job. They have Smallville, they have Flash, they've got the Green Arrow, they've got now they're coming out with young Bruce Wayne in Gotham. That looks really good and stylish, by the way. Can't wait.
They said that it's going to be noir.
Right. That's what noir. I've been begging for years.
It's just like the original Batman with Michael Keaton was done noir.
Right. And they said that this is going to be him young.
But they're really concentrating
Gordon
on Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah, he's
going to
be the young investigator. He's
right.
going to be the detective Gordon.
And what's saying is going to be a boy, right?
Batman, Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, he's going to be a boy.
Yep.
So that means his father must be still alive.
No, I think he's going to start with the murder.
Oh, okay, because that's how he
needs Detective Gordon is the detective investigating the murders.
Right,
he'll become
okay.
the commissioner later.
Right.
But it's going to have all of them. It's got Joker and all the asylum pouring forth, you know? It's kind of cool. But anyway, these things are great. I love them.
I just love...
But they entertain me greatly. But I have to tell you, it was a nice nostalgic blast to watch the old, albeit cheesy, but to watch,
yeah, very. But when you see what you can do today,
yes,
right?
Yes.
When you see what you, but you know what?
I mean, I watched him open a picture frame. Yeah, I'm like, oh, come on.
I mean,
but it was fun. And in his day, it was great.
To see what you can do today with, but I still like watching the original Star Trek.
Oh, I love it.
I mean, because it is the interaction between
the
three or four people on there.
That is why it's so good. Look, despite the fact that they're standing in front of cardboard with people with, like, you know, green paint slathered on them, it's still better than all the shows that came after when they spent $30 million with all the special effects.
Oh, unbelievable.
Because they forgot the basic storyline.
I was getting ready to say that. There are five storylines, but see, not just for story. There are only five storylines ever created. And we're going to have a movie quiz.
Oh, cool.
The film critic, Mr. George Gaffney is going to be on.
Oh, nice.
At 5:30.
I haven't seen Gaff in a while.
And he says, because we were going to have him on because, you know, he's also a major sports figure in New York City and here, mostly in New York City. And he taught the Nike basketball in Jersey, met all the major players for years and years. And he said, you know, because we had that thing, which I'm going to play about this, him right there. See, he's on TV right now. They're talking about it. How about that? Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about the punishment of Ray Rice, only being punished for two. You know, I guess you can't retroactively punish somebody.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, when you use your fist to knock out your fiance, then drag a body out of the dead-gone elevator and lay her on the floor. Now, they got married. She, you know, I hate to say this, but she deserves anything that happens after it. Unless she's waiting for him to get that next major salary boost and then divorce his butt and take half of it.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know,
what
the hell would you go and knock you out?
And then go back to
drag you out. And what don't these people know? That there's cameras everywhere. Why don't the police
thing that bothers me?
Yes.
You know, he got in trouble for not being hard enough on this guy.
Yeah.
After, you know, the press gets on to him, the public outcry.
Right.
But this is a long-standing problem. There's been abuse for years.
Absolutely.
And been all these guys jacked up on steroids.
Absolutely.
But and this is my prime example of they should have banned the guy for life. Dick.
Who?
I'm sorry. Michael Vick? With his freaking dogs. You ever seen the videos and those dogs and all that stuff?
Every time I think, you know, and I had
him grinning on camera, dancing around and making millions again, and I just can't stand it. I wish the guy was banned for life. Because you can't tell me he reformed himself in prison and got over it. You know, I'm sorry I torture people. I'm all better now. Oh, come on. Guy's an animal.
Yeah, and you know what? Those guys on the opposite team chase him around like he's an animal, too.
Wish they'd break every bone in his
head. Well, that's why he has not been the same. I'm getting messages here from my vice president in the Charlotte Mecklenburg chapter of Black Leadership Party. He says, you can't say that. I can't say what? Tell me. Text me. Listen.
Explain yourself.
Explain it. Lucy, explain yourself. Now, my next-door neighbor's calling me.
Oh,
now, what are you kidding me? Let me try to tell him. On the air. What, these people have no respect.
Every time we're on air, have you noticed? Like earlier,
every time.
Going on
call me on the day on the air. Stop texting me. Anyway.
We had last week, too.
It said it can't go through. Why? Try again. Hmm. I don't know. Still can't go through.
That's some strong truth,
she deserves anything she gets.
Oh, he was saying you can't say that because they probably misunderstood what you were saying. You're saying she deserves what she gets if she goes back to that situation. That's what you were saying.
If who goes back to the situation?
The wife of the guy.
He's in the situation. She married him.
That's what I'm saying.
You don't think that's going to happen? Oh, he went to 2 minutes of conversation.
Mike,
we're going to get to that. What?
You said
she
deserves what she gets. In the context of going
after she get married. Come on, buddy, you got to listen every day. I said, after she married this man, you don't think this is going to happen again?
Yeah.
Well, now she deserves it. And here's the thing. This is the thing what I'm talking about, and I'll jump over to Ferguson. How could you have a 90% Democratic county and have every single member of the political establishment, except for about 3, be Republicans? Are you kidding me?
Right.
Are you kidding me? And they wonder why? And here's the other thing. You know that guy, Wilson? He came from a neighboring police department. Closed down, okay? Closed down by the KBI, mm-hmm. Or the MBI, the Missouri Bureau of Investigation. close it down because they were doing things that weren't correct. He's one of those cops, so he came over here. And they have at least three or four cops out of the 53 that are on that same, or maybe more.
Yep.
We know about three or four.
Right.
That are working with him. So why was it closed down? Because these people did not do the correct job, and the MBI closed them down. Closed, and they fired everybody in the police department and elected all new people. Well, that's what needs to happen there.
Do you know how corrupt you have to be to shut down an entire police department and have everybody fired? Not just have reprimands and write-ups and reassignments.
Well, we're gonna have Miss Becky Rowe on the show, and she worked she told me last night, 77th in Brooklyn, which was about maybe a mile and a half from me.
I remember Miss Becky. Yes, last week she was pretty funny.
But she also worked out there in the Staten Island, mm-hmm. where the other gentleman was killed with the chokehold. So she'll tell us a little bit about that. We're also going to have...
Well, you know, New York's famous for greeting people inside
the
little vestibule at the door.
Well, what's the matter?
And then when you go for your wallet, they'll shoot you.
Go
60,
for your
70,
wallet?
80 times, however many times. Whatever that guy was.
No. And then what do you do? He went for his wallet. He didn't have a wallet. Oh, throw your wallet down there.
Yeah.
And what we're going to have... we're going to have... I need to look at this. We talked about the shooting death of Brandon Smith 2 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and I was just told, see, this is all happening as we are talking.
As we speak.
That's right. And let me.
You know what else is happening as we speak?
What?
I'm going to just throw this out there because I know we'll never get back to it.
Yeah?
We have this new ultimate telescope up in space.
Oh, yeah.
The new star.
Yes.
And
I saw it.
Light being bent into a black hole across the event horizon. And this is proving exactly what theories were thought to be with Einstein's theories. But this is the first time we
Einstein's theory of
this stuff.
Light, huh?
What happens to relativity
right
when it goes into a black hole across the event horizon?
So, but did they see the other side?
They saw a Disney ship with a robot.
They saw what? Say that again.
A Disney ship with a
Disney
giant
ship.
Red robot named Maximilian.
Oh.
You see that movie, Black Hole?
Oh, yeah, right.
1980?
Yes,
something?
Yeah, that's
okay.
Yeah, right.
But this is the closest I've ever seen. They usually can't see. You can't see a black hole
right.
itself.
But they found out where it was because there's a distortion around it.
Right. But this one, they have an event cloud kind of around black holes. It collapsed as it was being sucked in
to the black hole.
X-ray radiation cloud. So they were able to actually see the vortex into the event horizon.
Okay.
First time it's ever been seen.
Okay, so.
It's amazing. But they saw light itself bending, which is what happens when it gets closer.
So when it got closer to the event horizon of the black hole, the light bent to go into the black hole.
Mm-hmm.
But
it blurred and it became fused. Which is
diffuse?
Fused.
Diffuse. Okay.
It's because it goes into the speed of light. It ceases to be quantumly possible in this universe. And that's what happens at an event horizon. But they actually saw it happen, which is very cool.
Well, it was what's the name? Who played in The Matrix? What's his name?
Keanu?
No, yeah.
I can't ask?
Yeah, with the glasses.
Cool Breeze.
Yeah, what's his name?
Nick Fury.
Not Nick Fury. He wasn't in it. This is the other guy. He's bald in it. He played the FBI agent on Hannibal Lecter. Anyway.
Oh, Hannibal Lecter?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Well, anyway.
Papa Beans with him?
Yeah. No. We're going to have, while you're looking it up, we're also going, and we know we're jumping, that's fine. We're also going to have.
That's all we do. We're crazy.
We're also going to have the wife and sister. Yeah, Larry Fishburne.
Oh, Fishburne.
We got Lisa.
That's back when
thank you,
Larry.
Mr. VP.
But I like him when he became famous.
Well, he was in the Rent Horizon.
Lawrence.
Well, yes. Well, see, it was Larry back then.
And then he became
Lawrence. Now he became Lawrence.
Yeah.
But you see, Lawrence Olivier was also Larry in the beginning.
Larry Oliver?
And he became,
and then he became
Lawrence Olivier.
That's right. It was after that film.
Pretty nice, pretty nice.
It was after that film. Well, you, Mr. BP, you need to stay on because we're going to have a film questionnaire by our film critic who's coming on at 5:15.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have film. And anybody that gets 100% will get a – let's see, what can I give them? Oh, a shot glass that I bought back from Puerto Vallarta.
Ooh.
So I have five shot glasses that I was going to use for presents, but now I'm going to offer them up for the people to get the correct answers. Okay. Now, let me go on to tell us. Oh, I'm not even plugging you. What is this?
Oh,
you're just plugging. All right. We're going to talk about, we're going to have the sister. And the wife, is it the sister? Let me see here. I think it's, we're running with this. So we're going to have the wife and the sister of Brandon Smith on the show today.
Okay.
Brandon Smith was shot 27 times.
27. And I want to know why.
They said he had a gun, but it was his cell phone.
But I want to know, I don't care if he had an Uzi. What, 27 times? Why do you have to shoot anyone?
27 times.
Why?
And why? Because he was, the police said, he was racially profiled as a gang member who shot a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
again, why 27 times? One, two, maybe.
Well, you know.
I'm pretty sure you can stop anybody with two or three bullets.
You think?
27.
Well, I believe I have, and I don't know. I don't know if I did copy that. I guess I did because I didn't have time.
You remember old TV show, Wanted Dead or Alive?
Oh, yeah, I like that.
We need to send those guys out. We wouldn't have.
Well, that's what these police think they are.
Well, he shoot one.
One.
Hey. Well, is that Johnny
Gainsley? 27 shots.
You remember Johnny Gainsley? My mother did that once. Anyway, the thing is that these police,
mm-hmm.
with all this special, that stuff was good. Gets me hungry right there.
Hey, now stop it.
These police,
commercials.
You give them this militarization. You make the police militarized.
That is the key.
You give
problem.
Somebody a big hammer, and all they do is look for a nail.
Of course. Look, if you've got all these toys.
Especially in the black neighborhoods.
If you've got
everybody's
all these
toys. Everybody's a nail.
You're riding around with assault vehicles and, you know, light armored military vehicles, and you've got machine guns. You got to use them.
Rocket launchers? Yeah. Grenade launchers?
That's why they use. That's exactly why it happened in Missouri. Look, there's a crowd of people. Break out all that free stuff we got from the Pentagon, boys. That's what they did.
Do you actually think that they would have taken those tanks into South Park?
Look, I told you this last week. Do you remember this? Let me rephrase this.
I can see that now.
Do you remember this from last week?
Every policeman and sheriff would be gone that same day.
Yeah. No. Last
Tammy Harris would have a cardiac arrest.
In the suburbs of Colorado, you can show up wearing body armor and black tactical gear.
And that's when you go to confession.
Machine guns in both hands.
Yeah.
You can go into a theater.
The theater?
You shoot 70-something people. Mm-hmm. You can kill about 20 of them. Mm-hmm. You can shoot up the next theater next door to it.
Right.
Then you can walk out into the parking lot and give up to the cops, and they'll arrest you, and they'll put you on trial.
Yeah.
Even
hey,
if your hair
that?
Is...
They say, please put down your weapon.
Yeah. That's because
please put down your weapon.
That's because he was white.
That, oh, is
now,
that what it is?
And that's the difference, because you're exactly right. You would never, ever see. Imagine a golf course community with some tanks and tear gas rolled up to it. Like you said,
give me a
the commissioner
break.
Himself would be at the mansion that evening going, I'm sorry, here's my badge, here's my gun, I'm resigning, I'm so sorry.
Listen. they would have him up on charges.
That's what they would be doing.
Yeah. Because you don't have that. Yeah, and look, we were just before we went on there, we were watching that horrible news story out of Mississippi.
That. Yeah.
Where, you know, they don't even show up in black. You know.
I mean, it is, you know, sometimes I think that I am the most interesting man.
I don't think that's sometimes, Mike. I think that's
think
all
the time. Well, not all the time. I mean, because I have been known to do a lot of things.
He once challenged his own reflection to a staring contest. On the fourth day, he won. Stay thirsty, my friends.
That's right.
You remind me of a...
I looked at myself for 4 days in the mirror without even going to the bathroom. In the bathroom, I was looking at myself, and I won. The mirror image blinked.
It did.
Yes, it did.
It did.
Yeah,
the guy,
I always had to do that with a colleague yesterday and the day before, but...
there's a young singer from England.
A young singer?
His name, Robbie Williams.
Robbie Williams, yeah.
He's younger. But he reminds me of you because he had an album that was named The Ego Has Landed.
To
paraphrase some famous NASA kind of stuff, but The Ego Has Landed.
Don't even suggest that to some people that I know that are in this organization. No. Don't even suggest
don't
that.
Don't even go there.
Yeah, you can't even go there. But anyway, there was a quote that I love, and Bernard, this view, this is what's going to happen to us in the near future.
Michael, we're bigger than U.S. Steel.
That's right. We are going to be bigger than U.S. Steel. How about that? So, Some of the other things that we're going to talk about is, and I don't even have my table in front of me. Oh, yeah. Here it is. This was thick today. This was thick.
Yeah. That's because unlike every other week
where
we just blow through this, we don't even have any material.
Exactly.
You wanted to have. Yeah.
Right. I always wanted to have stuff that we have stuff left over. I mean,
and
but every time at 4 o'clock in the morning, I was, I got to add that. Let me add it.
Mike, we've been doing this for, 6 years or something? I don't know. We have never yet.
Never gone through.
We haven't got through 25%.
That's why I said I had to increase it. He said, why not? We ain't going to look at it anyway. But, you know, we just remember this, ladies and gentlemen. All truths are easy to understand once they are discovered. The point is to discover them. Galileo said that, you know.
Well, I think we discovered the truth this week.
You think?
I found out something that this is a rare one, I have to say.
A rare one, huh?
You know Morning Joe.
Oh, yeah.
You know Joe.
I know Joe.
Mr. Congress.
Yeah, he thinks that's why he left the Congress, because he knew he wasn't going to get reenelected.
Well,
and he's
smart enough to, you know, go into media.
That's right.
But anyway, he said something today that entertained me.
Someone talked about it. What did he say?
I like it. Okay. He defended for quite a while. For quite a while. Defended, because if you watch all the channels today, I'm fixing the tank. Listen. He defended President Barack Obama.
Oh, yeah.
Because every other channel was blasting him. Because the other day he said, we do not have a definitive, you know, plan right now for ISIL, which is that, you know, terror group out of Syria and into Iraq right now. But they're all going, oh, the president's got no plan. He's got no idea what's going on. Joe today said, you guys are morons. You don't understand how this guy operates. He's smarter than I am. He said, have y'all never read The Art of War? He said, what this president has,
he has
showed his genius at, he said, when you're really weak and don't know what to do and you're scared to death, you bluster and you talk and you brag and you do everything. Right. He said, but when you got everything in your hand and you can just drop the hammer at any time,
that's right.
But you're, you play mean. And yet you don't have to say anything. And he said, so when he's sitting around saying, he said, I know, I've been in those meetings. I know how they work. He said, he's got satellite pictures of these guys' faces. Yeah, they've got tracking on every little pickup truck across
right.
the desert right now. And he said, what they're trying to decide is how much
of a hammer
Eastern Syria to eradicate.
Right.
Right.
They have the hammer,
said,
and there's nothing but
said,
nails out
there.
All
they're trying to do is try to figure out, like, which embassies in the area now to alert or not alert and that kind
right.
of stuff. And he said, so when he says, we don't really have any plan or anything on the table now, he said, that's because right now it's like probably in flight, you know.
Right.
So he was talking about this morning, and I loved it. So I have to give a shout-out. Joe, you did a good job.
Well,
and you got it. Because all the other guys were like, he's weak, he's isolated,
yeah.
he doesn't know what he's talking about. And he said, the president doesn't need to project anything. He doesn't need
no.
to say anything.
Of course,
he's going to play his hand. But he said, they're going to find out real quick.
Well, that's the thing that is so outrageous, is that these people are moronic, and that includes John Sink My Ship McCain. That includes him. I mean, it's just completely ludicrous.
You know, it would be interesting to do a compare and contrast on the damage and the money that John McCain did to that ship.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Compare it to something like, you know, any other major battle, and see how much of a percentage John McCain alone did compared to an enemy.
Right, and you know, people, if you don't know what we're talking about, you just look up John McCain, Senator John McCain, his war record. Just look up his war record, and you will see he almost sank the USS Forrestal during the Vietnam War. He fired at
he's first horsing around.
He was horsing around. That's what the whole thing was. He was horsing. What's that? Was somebody
weekly test?
Oh, weekly test.
Nothing.
Right. So
he was horsing around. He started a fire to
right.
begin with, and then the fire accidentally set off his. With missiles from
he was having a joke with a colleague who was sitting in the car, and I can't remember which. It had to be either F-4Bs or maybe it was I don't remember which one it was, but he was sitting.
And if you have trouble, look at him. It's actually
1967, 68.
Yeah, 10:51 a.m. Saturday, July 29th, 1967. That'll help you.
What January? What?
July 29th.
Okay, yeah. I was over at Clark Air Base at the time, and I was so I had just come back from Da Nang because the Tet Offensive had started then.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're lucky you got back in time.
No, I was there when it started. But I got back before we started.
No, so, boy, John McCain.
Please, you know, hey, you don't want to be in the air with John McCain's flying his plane. And so he was going to do a hot dog. It was a trick, trying to fool around with the guy behind him. And they have what they call these explosive shells. They're like a grenade.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for a quick start. When you're in war, you got to. Otherwise, they start the aircraft with an electrical charge.
Yeah.
And but these little bombs.
He
set it off.
You know, canopy of the other guy's jet.
Right. Well, what he did was he started his aircraft, not rolling, turned it on with this explosive charge, and the flame blew off the daggone canopy behind him.
Set off the
rockets, and it went into, I don't know if it went into the magazine. Did it go into the magazine?
Set the entire deck on fire.
Set the entire deck on fire. It
burned the entire ship down, the worst disaster
in U.S.
outside of World War II.
Right.
And it killed 134 people. 134. So It isn't a joke. It's serious.
No, it ain't no joke. This is serious. So everybody doesn't know about that. You're telling me. We're talking to her right now. So let's not be pampered here.
But anyway.
And we're going to talk about what happened with various other people. I just got another section here. What is going on here?
But like we said, we're going to go from ISIL invading Iraq to the police invading Ferguson.
I want to talk about this fool that who will never be president. He's lucky he's down there in New Orleans. That
Jinder.
Oh, Obama. He's suing Obama.
He thought that Boehner was getting too much press.
Right.
So he wants a lawsuit.
Right. He's a presidential contender who is suing the Louisiana governor, Bobby Jindal. May have found in his lawsuit, he wants to block anything that Barack Obama. So the thing that he came up with is blocking the core, common core education.
Right.
Like, he don't want everybody to learn the same thing. Because down there in New Orleans, they have special things they have to learn.
Like the Bible and...
No, his Bible. His Bible.
I don't even want to get into
and
that.
The other subject is his Bible.
Yeah.
And the other subject is his Bible. Mm-hmm. Of course, this... So move over, as you said, Speaker Boehner.
Well, and he said this as he descended the staircase. I'm going to sue the Common Core. As he came down the antebellum staircase. You remember that ad? No, the response he gave to the president.
He wants to control all the classrooms. And he said that the... So there isn't one single thing that he can say that is no good in Common Core. Only thing that is no good in Common Core is the Bible. They're not teaching the Bible.
We don't want kids to learn that spell? This is what cracks me up in this statement here. Bobby Jindal, governor of Louisiana, is suing Obama because he's saying it's forcing the United States to adopt education standards, and he's not going to take it anymore. You know, you can't make this stuff up. How dare you have standards? We don't have no standards here in Louisiana.
Yeah, right. You know. What's that Colonel Nathan Jessup said? Goddamn right you don't. Here's the thing is, he didn't even say it, but we all know what he's saying. So we don't want the people in New Orleans to learn 2 + 2 = 4. Like everybody else. No, we want them to learn that. We don't want the kids in New Orleans to learn that when the apple was shot off the head with the arrow, it fell to the ground.
This is the state that when the oil companies were found guilty of polluting the Gulf and killing all the sea life around the coast, and the communities there sued and won.
Uh-huh.
In court, they passed a law under Jindal's urging forbidding oil companies from being fined or having to pay any penalties for the damage they do to Louisiana.
This is the man, when we first saw him, he came out to oppose what the president said.
Yeah.
And he walked down this hallway, similar to the White House, but it was like a Saturday Night Live skit.
It's like Carol Burnett's skit, where she comes down the stairs in the burned-down mansion, and she says, "Where did you find that gown?" "Well, I found it in the window. I just couldn't resist myself." That's what it looks like when he comes down that big staircase, you know, the antebellum staircase he has.
And he was talking, and you looked at him, he looked like a deer in the headlights. Mm. And this is the governor that those morons in New Orleans selected.
Well,
but you know what? Hey, a moron is a moron. And
well, here's the good thing.
Well, what's that thing that
let me prove his
his genius,
moranity.
His genius. Yes.
So Jindal is doing this for attention. We know that. He said he's
picked. You mean like a kid crying?
Well, he's doing this for attention because he said they found out that, like, you know, 75% of all ultra-conservative Republican, you know, evangelicals don't like Common Core because of Obama.
Okay.
So he says, okay, this is a good target for me. It'll raise my standing. And the reason he wants his standing raised is even amongst... dead last in all presidential polls. And his highest percentage rated so far, 2.3%.
That's all the people in his family.
That's, you know, thanks, Mom.
This is some space.
Oh, space news.
What? That's space.
My favorite star.
Yeah, well, that's what that was. If he thinks he's getting elected, he is from space.
From the outer.
I was going to do that, but we're going to have to do that next week.
Yeah.
So we've got so much stuff in here.
But you know what? It's not worth giving him attention because then he might move up to
2.4%
approval rating. We don't want that.
No. We're,
let's talk about some other geniuses.
Oh, some other geniuses? Yes.
Like, what? You want to go Missouri or Mississippi? Where you want to go? There's so many choices.
But you see, they're all the same genius.
Yeah.
You know, it's like one person, like, Koch is controlling everything. The Koch brothers, they got to be in control of everything. Because why are these all these things the same?
You're too kind. Or too Americanized. I like to go with the traditional. You know, and the old Scotch and Celtic and Gaelic.
No, I hadn't had that in a long time.
Tradition.
Yeah,
you don't pronounce it C-H. It's a... Right? It's a strong K. That's like, you know, in the old days.
The old days.
If you go to, like I went to in Austria, this nice little village. They had a church, a big monastery up on the side of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called Kirchberg am Wechsel. And it was the church town on the river Wechsel. Right?
Oh, okay. I understand. That makes
Kirchberg,
sense.
Right?
They couldn't come up with a name that they said that.
To English because of the Scottish and all that. They had those CHs on there. And so Kirk becomes church because we say it instead of K. But it's really K. So it's actually in the nice dramatic form. Cog. The Koch brothers. Don't be nice. It's not Koch. It's not Scotch tape.
God.
Can't
give
stand
me
them.
A break.
They're criminals. Anyway, hey.
Well,
you want to talk about horrific tragedy?
Yeah, well, no, I want to say there's one other thing I want to do because I think these things are all, well, yeah. You know what? Let's talk about that. Because I have an audio clip.
Oh, you want
to
talk about football first?
No. Talk about that because I have a clip on that. I just need to find it.
All right. Well, look, we everybody's heard this already. Everybody's been talking about it for the last week or so. But we have this tragedy, absolute tragedy, outside of Vegas, where this family, for some God knows why. They own vacation, no less. That's even worse. But anyway, they take their 9-year-old daughter out to a gun range and let her explore the joys of, you know, Uzis and other machine guns. And what do you think would happen?
Let me guess. Let's see.
What could possibly go wrong?
Well, maybe there was no bathroom. You had to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing, right?
Yeah.
Let's see. Maybe ISIL attacked and took over the whole gun range. They could see some Mexicans crossing the border. No, am I getting close?
The only upside of this story is,
yes,
in these usual cases, children with guns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she usually it would be the end result would be she killed herself or whatever. That didn't happen. However, just almost as tragic, she killed the instructor. And the reason is, she's 9 years old. She cannot hold a machine gun. So when it started shooting, guess what? You have that little thing called kick, you know, a little bit of ooh, whoops, and it went up and around, and she ended up shooting.
So you're saying, so which is it? Do guns kill or people kill?
It depends on if you have
people
NRA.
With guns.
Yeah, people with guns. That's pretty much 100%.
Okay.
Sure.
Well,
but what I love about this was this thing. NRA dead silence.
Who the NRA? You mean the people that are behind
guns for
every single gun in the entire world?
Yeah, they got nothing to say. They're the ones that wanted to arm the students.
Right.
In Newtown.
Right. You remember that?
If only the students
had armed.
Only
the students in the first grade had guns.
Yeah. So that's those people. But look, in that same vein, here's the owner of the company and all this saying that, you know, well, we're not to blame and we're distraught because he said, that instructor is like losing my brother.
As a matter of fact,
okay.
Hold that thought because I have this man doing some talking right now.
These aren't employees or associates of ours. These are family. We're all family.
And a tragic story we've been following from Arizona. A firearms instructor has been killed by a 9-year-old girl who was firing a submachine gun.
The instructor was standing next to the girl at an outdoor shooting range when she pulled the trigger. The rear sent the gun over her head and a bullet hit the instructor. A girl was in the range with her parents who were visiting the area from New Jersey.
How does a 9-year-old get an Uzi in her hand?
Well, a 9-year-old gets an Uzi in her hand when... within the criteria is 8 years old to shoot firearms. We instruct kids as young as 5 with 22 rifles and they don't get to handle high firearms, but they're under the supervision of their parents and of our professional range master.
This is the owner.
Yeah. We have a limit. You know, we're not crazy out here. We start at 5. And we only give them, I love this, we only give them 22 rifles, he says. We don't let them handle the high firearms.
I mean,
are you kidding?
Is this insanity?
Yeah. And one thing that I love, this is off your page here, but this was added by a commenter, Joan Walsh.
Yeah.
Said, can you imagine the outrage on Fox News or in conservative circles if black parents had handed their 9-year-old child Uzi, and then the child had shot someone. They died.
Yeah.
Imagine
Can
that
you
outrage.
Imagine that? Let
and then
me
them talk
see.
About the culture of black people and the violence culture.
First of all, if that was a black young lady that shot a white instructor, they would have came in and said, she's armed and dangerous.
Well, they would
shoot on sight.
Shoot on sight, yeah, exactly. And then, like much like in we find in Mississippi and other places, she would have been lying handcuffed on the ground, and they would have ruled it a suicide because she was shot 14 times in the back. But
unbelievable.
This is all unnecessary. The point of all this is it should never happen, ever, ever, ever. You're an idiot if you give a child a weapon. Don't give them a broadsword. Don't give them a machine gun.
A broadsword.
Don't give them anything. Don't give them a stick of dynamite. I mean, are you an idiot?
You mean, why can't they hold a rocket launcher? Because you know that those black helicopters are coming to get us.
Right.
Oh, wait a minute.
Well, that's what this guy defended.
I was trying to remember what I wanted to say. We have met the enemy, and they are us, the right wing. That's what it is. The right wing wants to arm every single person, young from 6 to 60, blind, crippled, or crazy. Give them a gun because that will protect you.
No, the only reason they want to do that is because they'll make profit. It won't protect anybody. People will be dying left, right, and sideways. I mean, that's what's happening already. We have this flood of guns in every city, and that's why we have violence. If we didn't have the flood of guns, we wouldn't have violence. And this is one of the same things over there, you know, ISIL and all these other groups. Every time we have to go somewhere and fight, Al-Qaeda, ISIL, anywhere else, we trained and armed them.
Right.
So we're fighting our own weapons. The people that are killing Americans are killing them with our weapons.
Well, here's the other thing. How many times have you heard a person broke into someone's house with a gun, and the other person with a gun shot the person in the house or killed them?
Never.
Never. It's always the person coming in the house had a gun and the other person got shot. Or it's always someone who came in the house and the owner shoots him. Or knocking on the door and the owner shoots him. But it's never, you know, and their moronic talk about a person, a good person with a gun will stop a bad person with a gun. 9 out of 10. You know, people don't know what it is until someone points a gun at your butt. I've seen it live. When someone is pointing a gun at you, if you're not trained,
you're freeze.
You freeze.
And this is the thing that I've always argued. Like, my dad went and bought my mother, tried to get her a gun, some kind of a pistol, do something else on it. She didn't even understand that. And she was like, I can't. I don't want to learn. I don't want to aim it. She was terrified of it. So then, genius that he is, he goes, well, I'll make it easier for you. So he went and bought a little shotgun that was like a shotgun pistol. All you had to do was aim it at a, you know, door, and you shoot the entire wall. You hit everything. And he goes, here, just have that. And then she was terrified. It was in the, well, she showed me one time I go down there. It's in the drawer by her bed. And she goes, look what your dad got me. And I know my mother. My mother, she's a retired school teacher. She sleeps like the dead. She's timid as everything. She's never fired anything. She doesn't hurt any animal, any person. She didn't raise her voice. Do you think at 3 o'clock in the morning someone comes kicking the door in with the intent to rob and kill?
The first thing she's going to grab is grab that gun.
Lady,
hell
yeah,
no.
No. And she can't even see. She would have to find her glasses. Then she would have to get awake enough to realize what was happening, and it'd be dark, so she'd have to turn the light on. And then when she saw what was happening, by this time she'd be shot 14 times and killed. But anyway, by this time, you know, if she was aware enough, she'd have to get up, get it out of the drawer, and then, because, you know, it has to be set, it wasn't loaded, she would have to then load it, because he didn't want it loaded in there,
right.
Because if anybody came to visit, like our kids, he was scared somebody might get hurt, you know, and you have to be safe. So it's pointless,
because I think it's like six out of ten people that have a gun in the house, it's used on them.
Yes. I mean, the only problem, no. What,
I mean,
would it
what are we talking about here?
She would be shot dead in the bed, and then, you know, they would go through the house and find the weapon and take it, you know, add it to their
car. Absolutely. Yeah, weapon
she
in the house.
Never
no. Oh, no, what's this? Bang.
It would have taken 15 minutes for her to get prepared to use it, you know, which is why the only homeowner killings you ever see
right.
are those people who are sitting around prepared, playing with the gun all the
right.
time because they live in mortal fear.
Right.
And when someone knocks on the door, they shoot through the door and blast them away.
What you mean,
and then they go, oh, you mean you wrecked your car?
Yeah.
I didn't ask.
Like the guy that killed
exactly
the woman?
Exactly, like the guy.
Has that verdict come in?
Not yet.
She was drunk, yeah, admitted. She banged on the door because she's drunk. She had a wreck. But the guy opened his front door and shot, it was a screen door, I think. Shot her in the face.
But again, that's because he's prepared and he's awake. He went and got his gun. He got it loaded, walked over there, got prepared to shoot, opened the door, and blasted away. So, you know, that is not a startle response if he was laying in bed.
Hell no.
So, again, there is no defense. I don't want to hear that anymore.
No.
If everybody were armed, there'd be no more crime. Bullshit. There'd just be a whole bunch of deaths.
Absolutely. I mean, look. What?
And you know kids, by the way. You know my kids. You know Mr. Alex. Just that one example alone. Alex, just him alone. And I've got, you know, many kids. Terrifies me. If I had weapons in the house, are you kidding me? If you tell a kid or teach a kid they won't ever mess with it, they will mess with everything you have. They go through everything you have. They are everywhere. You go in and your entire drawers are rearranged. Everything is thrown on the floor and everything. You're like, what happened?
Nothing. I remember my brother and I, when it got close to Christmas, we would look through the house for the presents. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were like, what the heck is that guy? Hey. And you know, one time, my mother and father hid presents in our closet because we never went in there. Well, we hang our stuff and throw it on the floor.
You're looking in their room.
They said, hey, they'll never look in the closet because they never clean it. And, you know, then I started thinking, why is it she never told us to clean our closet like a week before Christmas?
Yeah.
I never got that. Well, I was 15. No, I must have been 25. I asked her that one time.
And yet again, proving
she said, because
parents are smarter than kids.
That's what she said. Because you were dumb. We were smarter than you. End of story.
Yeah. Hey, look, not to get my wife in trouble, but her story was when they were growing up. Now, see, my dad put the fear of God in me. I would every once in a while go over there and look at it, kind of rattle it, see if I could tell what it was, and then put it down and run away. Because he made it known he would kill our asses, right? But my wife and her brothers and sisters, apparently, they would go in while their parents were at work, unwrap all the gifts, look at them, then wrap them back and take back home. Now, that's devious. But you know what? Just goes to prove the point. If you have weapons in the house, the kids are going to find it, and they're going to play with it. Because that's what kids are. They're curious. And it's not their fault. They're kids. They don't think right. But they see something cool and neat.
And
like
a pass walk.
Machine gun or something. It's like, it's kind of cool. You want to play with it.
Hey,
look, it looks like Rambo. It looks like, you know.
This is a tragic accident with this gun. This Uzi. Not a gun. It's an Uzi.
And that's a weapon of war. It was developed by the Israelis for the
It's banned here, so. But you can buy it from certain places.
And you can go to a gun range and use it.
And you can go to a gun range and use it.
And this is the part that makes me the maddest. This gun range owner, in his defense, he goes, but it's okay. Even though we let children as young as five handle everything, it's fine because they're under the supervision of their parents or our professional range master.
Yeah, the parents.
Like the guy that's dead laying on the ground
right.
beside
and them. The parents who brought him there.
Yeah, he was professional, and he got Uzi'd in the head. So, I mean, come on.
You know?
It's a child. A child cannot handle a weapon. It's too powerful. Even most people can't handle high-powered weapons when they kick.
It's just like it has a situation now in an organization that I'm president of. Hey, I blame me. Because we had something that went wrong. And, hey, I blame nobody. I blame me because it shouldn't have got to that point. I should have been my wife. Tell me all that. You just mad. You want to get your hands up. You want to do this. You want to do that. I said, well, I've always done everything. I know how to cook. I know how to clean. I know how to paint. I know how to piece a drawer. I know how to arrange things. I micromanage. But I wasn't micromanaging this time. Something went wrong with me. So I blame myself. Who do we blame for these kids? And we don't want to place blame because it's a tragic accident. You know, if the kid shot the roof off, okay, then we could place blame. But this, I don't want to place blame, but to me, the child should have never been there.
No.
But you know what this daggone owner said? Well, the parents are trying to fill her bucket list. What bucket list? She's 9 years old. Is she dying tomorrow?
Well, even
a bucket list? Bucket list?
Yeah, but you can't use that excuse, too. What was the list? Did the child really say, I want to go shoot high-power guns? Or, you know, maybe he said, I want to go kill some people. Do you feel that? You know, I mean, come on.
I'm telling you, it is just so unbelievable. You know,
look, it's like that thing a few months ago.
Right.
Where you had that another tragedy. Child shot the other child in the house.
Right,
with a gun.
Right.
And did you hear, it was a little girl that died, that one.
Yeah.
The brother killed the little child. But she was like 3 or 4. And did you hear what the parents said in that one?
No. What was that?
They said, it was fine because God loved her so much.
Oh, God.
He took her home, and that was all good. It was her time, and it was nothing to do with them. They were just God's vehicle. No. It was all your fault. And the kids shouldn't have been playing with the gun.
I cannot stand that. You know, the last bastion of a scoundrel is the flag and religion.
Yeah.
And when they bring in God for what happens, I mean, I don't know what comes over me. It's just unbelievable.
Temple on the side. What's come over me?
What's come over me?
What's come over me?
What's come over me?
What's wrong with my ears? They're deceiving me. I thought I heard you. speak. Calling my name, I must be insane, I just can't explain.
We had a major problem with the parking down in the neighborhood theater.
A lot of
and the construction is over with, but there's no more parking left. And, yes, there is parking about 3.5-4 blocks away, free for at the Y. But, you know, when you get 50, 60, and 70-year-olds walking 4 blocks, it ain't happening.
Yeah, they ain't going to walk through another.
So, but we're going to have this comedian, Jake Kelly, who's coming in from New York. We're going to have the live band Unique with Denise Gardner as the singer. And we're going to have Mr. Bradford, who is the music entrepreneur, who's going to be playing the music as the DJ.
Cool.
So, and we're going to have stuff to eat. And so it's still going to be down. Hey, $25. Come down to the Neighborhood Theater next Friday, 7:30. And right now, we have our phones lit up, but we're going to introduce first. She is the president, of the New Hanover Black Leaf, North Carolina Black Leaf Caucus. My name is Sonia Valentine. Hello, Sonia. Sonia, can you hear me? What's that?
Can you?
No, you're breaking up. Can't hear you.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
How are you? How are you?
Great. Thank you for having me.
Good. Who else we have on the line here? Let's see. Well, before we go down, Sonia, tell us what the New Hanover North Carolina Black Leadership Caucus is doing in New Hanover.
Right now, Thursday, August 28th, was the 51st anniversary of the March on Washington, where Reverend Dr. King gave his "I Have a Dream" speech, and we acknowledged the 51st anniversary. But it was very hard to acknowledge it and not include these problems of police brutality, which Martin Luther King did in his I Have a Dream speech. And we believe that if Dr. King was here today, he would be advocating for justice in regards to the alleged police brutality based on information and belief.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good. We have online, we have a bunch of people online. I want to see if I can get them and have them identify themselves. So, who's this on the line? Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
And what is your name?
I'm Georgia Davis. I'm the sister, Georgia Davis.
And you are the sister of who? Can you
of Brandon Smith.
Excuse me?
The guy that was shot. I'm the sister of Brandon Smith, the one who was shot 27 times by laying on the ground with no gun.
I understand. Okay. And your name is? Oh, you put your name. What's your name?
I'm sorry. You have a lot of static.
Yeah, well, what's your name? Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
I hear you fine. What is your name?
I said my name is Georgia Davis.
Georgia, okay. Okay, Georgia. We have somebody else in line here. Yes. Hello, identify yourself. Who are you?
Somebody got his wind going.
Yeah, I know. Somebody must be outside in the car. Hello, who's this? Go to the next one.
Okay.
Who's this? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Yes, who's this?
This is Becky Rowe.
Hello, Becky Rowe. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Mike?
And you tell the ladies and gentlemen who are listening what your name and what you are, why you're part of this whole conversation.
Well, my name is LaBecky Rowe, and I am a retired police officer from New York City, living here in Charlotte, North Carolina.
And let's go to the next person here. And what is your name? Hello? Hello?
It's still me, Mike. It's still Becky.
Oh, I got you. Becky, did you call in on two different lines?
No, I did not.
Okay. I have somebody else on the line that ends in 7709. Who's that? Okay. Well, what's the
thing? There's a lot of wind.
There's a lot of wind or a lot of static on the line.
Yes, it is.
Hello, who's this?
This is Lindsay Smith, the wife of Brandon Smith.
Lindsay, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Okay, Wendy. Okay, well, I'm going to start with you. So we have Georgia, who's the sister, and Wendy, who's the wife of Brandon Smith. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Wendy,
correct.
Can you tell us, Wendy, where were you when you heard about Brandon's passing?
I was in my car. I had just left the grocery store grocery shopping with my kids.
And how many children do you have?
I have two children, a boy and a girl.
What's their ages?
8 and 3.
8 and 3?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when did you find out this whole unbelievable episode happened?
When did I find out, or how did I find out?
Yes.
The day that I found out, I got a phone call from a friend of mine. He was browsing on the internet on Facebook, and an officer that was involved in the shooting had posted on his Facebook page, "Congratulations, boys, we just gunned down the suspect. He is now killed."
Dead.
You didn't even get notified by them. You just learned that they're bragging about the shooting.
Yeah, the officer, nobody called me or nothing. The officers were bragging on Facebook that they had just killed him.
Georgia, and do you mind me calling you Georgia?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay, Wendy, I'm going to call you Wendy. Is that all right?
Yes.
Okay. Georgia, when did you find out what happened to your brother?
Well, I was also inside of the car, and my phone kept blowing up with people saying, "Say it's not so." And I'm like, "What do you mean?" They said, "Well, it's all over Facebook from an officer posting, 'Great work. The suspect from New Hanover County is now dead with the officer involved shooting.'"
So I'm trying to understand it. I just going to say, you're telling me that both of you, well, were you together? You weren't together, correct?
No, we wasn't.
So then you just happened to be on Facebook, or are you like one of my youngest daughters who had never comes out of the face out of off a PDA? I mean, how did you find out? So someone called you to look on Facebook, or you were on Facebook, or Wendy?
No, somebody had called.
Okay, so first with you, Wendy, when someone called you, did you call the police or you looked on Facebook yourself?
I told him to screenshot it on his phone, and he made a copy on his phone, and he sent it to me in a message.
Do you still have that message?
Yes.
Okay. Well, what did you do? What was your next steps from there? What did you do?
I called the family, and everybody was just so hysterical, and we had found out, I think, on the news, where the location was. So I'm from a whole other county, so I had to travel from another county to the location. And when we got there, none of the officers wanted to talk to us. Nobody wanted to tell us anything, nothing.
So what is the thing that the police, why would the police chase
you? It's very hard to hear you, Mike.
What? Why was the police chasing your husband?
They tried to say that he had shot one of their officers 5 days prior to this, and they were telling me that they wanted to bring him in for questioning.
So they were looking for him or looking for a suspect?
Yes, they were looking for the suspect, and they just wanted to bring him in for questioning. They just wanted to talk to him. They didn't know who did it or how it happened. They just wanted to talk to him.
So this wasn't something where they said, "We know that Brandon did it. Brandon Smith did it, so we're going to get him."
No.
It was, we got to look for some black man?
Right.
No. When it came out, that first incident, they were saying they were looking for a guy that was about 6'2", wearing about 320 pounds, a black man with dreads. Brandon does not have dreads. He has a brush cut. The description they gave was nothing like Brandon Smith. They put up a $5,000 reward for the suspect who shot this police officer, and then that's when they started getting a lot of phone calls saying, "Hey, it was Brandon Smith."
Well, is Brandon anything like this description?
No.
Well,
no,
what's the description of Brandon? How tall is he?
He's about maybe roughly 220. He has a brush cut, he's brown skin, and he does not have dreads.
Did he ever have dreads?
Did he ever have dreads?
10 years prior to that, yes.
Georgia, when did you find out about the site? I know you found out about Facebook. What did you do then?
Well, me, my mom, and my sister, like, we was all in the car together. So when my phone started blowing up and them saying that, hey, the officers just posted something on Facebook saying that Brenda has been killed, we went straight to over there in Castle Hayne where it happened at. as soon as we got on the scene, there was a nurse on duty saying, hey, they just shot and killed Brandon Smith down there. And he said that he had been trying to assist them with him, being that he's a registered nurse, and they would not allow him to and told him to back up, that they didn't need his help.
So this person was not part of EMS then?
No.
He was just a bystander.
Yeah, he was a nurse that was on his way home and happened to see the altercation that was going on that was there and administrated his help like normally he's supposed to do if anything like that happened.
Okay, now I don't know if you can answer this or I have to go to Wendy, but have the police ever questioned you?
Yes, they did. There was one officer in particular, he had told us during the whole time they were looking for him, he said that if you guys can get Brendan to turn himself in, that he wasn't sure that the other guys wouldn't kill him.
Well,
so I have a question, Mike. Was this guy a suspect in the shooting of this police officer?
Yes.
Oh, so he was a suspect prior to them finding him.
Yes, he was an alleged suspect.
Right. He was a suspect. I'm not necessarily that he did it, but he was a suspect. So they were looking for him.
Yes, after they had put up a $5,000 reward asking if anybody knew who did it.
So can I ask a question?
I'm not
justifying what the police did.
Right.
However, if he was a suspect,
okay, is that better? Go ahead,
huh?
Becky. Go ahead, Becky.
Okay.
Ask your question.
If he was a suspect, I'm not justifying what the police did, and I have to say I'm sorry for your loss and the circumstances surrounding it. However, if he was a suspect in the shooting of this police officer and he absolutely had nothing to do with it, why didn't he just go into the police station? Hello?
Or that came out, he was going to turn himself in.
Right.
And before he can get to that point, a lot of unmarked cars start chasing them. So
when you say them,
he wasn't aware.
His cousin was going to drive him to turn himself in where it happened and where they killed my husband that was on the road on the way to the police station.
Right.
Really?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
So you said that the shooting of the police officer had taken place 5 days prior?
5 days after the officer was shot.
Right, okay, so it had taken place 5 days prior to them shooting your husband.
And the officer that went and killed my husband was the officer who got shot, partner.
Really? So why were they so focused on Brandon?
Because I feel like it was like they were just targeting him because he was black. It happened in a minority project, like a neighborhood where all black people were, and they were saying that he was in the neighborhood, so they just wanted to bring him in for questioning.
So were there other guys around? I mean, where is
it? Yeah, it was a lot of guys, and on the 911 calls, people were calling in on the day the officer got shot. People were calling in saying that there's officers out here shooting at each other. It looks like we need help. It looks like the officers are out here shooting at each other. And what had happened was it was a probation officer that was at the top of the road. When he got the phone call on his walkie-talkie that the officer was at the end of the road and an altercation was going on, he ran down to the end of the road and started firing with the officer. Now the probation officer that shot the officer from a friendly fire is not on the force anymore. He's moved out of town, and he's not no longer with the police force. Like, they tried to get him out of here.
Oh, so there's a cover-up going on.
Yeah, so it's a cover-up, and they killed my husband over it.
Yep.
And I didn't say he's the one that killed him.
Oh, and they already know that they did not put his name in no paperwork.
And where is this at? This is Wilmington, North Carolina.
Okay, before we get to this, I want to explain to you. Well, what she's saying is a probation officer is the one who shot the police officer in the leg.
Right. Correct.
And to cover up, they blamed someone who was there in the crowd, and it happened to be Brandon.
Well, can I ask you a question? Was Brandon known to the police?
Say it again.
Was Brandon known to the police?
No, he was not known to the police. And out there, they had a lot of gangs out there, and after they killed him, they tried to say he was a gang member. And I had to go on the news and keep telling him my husband was not a gang member. He was a longshoreman for the state port. And then when I later met with the DA about this, with the Black Caucus's Miss Sonia, I asked the district attorney, I said, why did you label my husband as a gang member? He looked me in my eyes. He said, I never labeled your husband as a gang member. I don't know where the news got that from. So the news tried to make him out as this bad guy after they killed him, so nobody cared about it.
And
I have a question.
It's so hard to believe he was a suspect because there were two armed officers on the scene. And they claim he ran off, and he doesn't even have the ability to run, whoever the suspect was. There were two armed officers, one a probation officer.
Let me just read this here. Before we go any further, let me read this for the audience. Okay. This is a case of violation of Brandon Smith's constitutional rights, and excessive force apparently is the issue here. There is no reason why any unarmed human being should be shot 27 times.
That's
okay.
Right.
They shot him 27 times, so they all fired. Oh, my God.
Ma'am.
Brandon was a suspect in the shooting of a police officer. It says he had 2 days, or you're saying 5 days, before he was killed. According to the report, the alleged suspect shot a police officer when the officer apparently approached the suspect's car, okay, by a racial profile. The armed officer claimed the suspect, Mr. Smith, shot him in the leg. Then the alleged suspect went on foot and did not be apprehended. He didn't know the armed officer was coming. Now, any suspect that had the ability to run from two officers must have the ability to run super fast. Now, Wendy, tell us why your husband Brandon could not run.
3 years prior to that, he had got in a motorcycle accident and broke his left arm and his right leg, and he broke his femur bone. So he had staph infection that he had been fighting for 2 years in and out the hospital on 6 months treatment of antibiotics. We had to do IVs for 6 months. So he could not run at all.
Right.
He had a real heavy limp.
So they're saying he jumped out of his car and ran from two police officers.
Wow, that's horrible.
That part.
So this is the cop that he supposedly, that they're saying that he shot, this cop is alive?
Yeah, but
yeah.
They
were both friends, is that correct?
Yeah, they're all friends.
So what he did was, this probation officer, he retired and moved. Where did he move to?
To Pennsylvania.
He was friends with whom?
How about that, Becky?
The officer that got shot, it was his partners that went and killed my husband.
And the same people that they were pointing at saying that they wasn't sure about these guys went and killed him is the same guys that pulled the trigger on him.
Who was the probation officer, though? He was friends with somebody?
Darrell Bradley.
Yes. Yes. They were all friends.
The probation officer was friends with the cop?
Yes.
They all worked together, yes.
Okay.
Okay. That probation officer was going to apprehend somebody that I know, boyfriend, And that's how he came about to be in the picture.
That's the only reason why the family knew that the probation officer was on the scene and he was firing, because he was going to see one of our friends of our family's boyfriend. He was going to check on him as a probation officer. But he was already in the area when he got the call.
Oh, okay. So the probation officer was over there to apprehend someone, and then he must have called for backup.
Right.
Right.
And then called for backup. So was Brandon over there at this person's house who the probation officer was going to try to apprehend?
No.
No.
He seen the altercation going on down the street, and he jumped in his car, jumped out down there, and started immediately firing.
People started calling in the neighborhood saying that we need help, we need help. It looks like the officers are out here shooting at each other.
Yes.
So
in other words,
there's friendly fire, and Brandon just happened to be in the wrong place.
In the area. At the wrong time.
The wrong crime.
But see, why did this police officer, who was friends, well, probation officer, who was friends of the police officer that shot, why did he suddenly get up and leave and move to Pennsylvania? Not even to another location. He moved to Pennsylvania. Well, it don't matter. A court case, you can get him, subpoena him, and his butt have to come back. But the thing is, though, it was friendly fire.
The bullet in the guy's leg.
Yes.
Oh, yes. So what about the bullet in the police officer's leg? Can they find that?
They never released that information.
Yeah, because they could tell whether that bullet in the police officer's leg came from a police officer's gun.
Yeah, right after he was shot, right after they killed my husband, nothing else were talked about the officer getting shot or nothing. Nothing else was about.
Yeah, because they realized that they made a mistake.
Right, there's
exactly.
A lot of information
so they tried to cover it up.
Don't know.
Trying to cover it up.
Well, now let me play devil's advocate here. I just wanted, because there's one point of this that bothers me immensely from the side that we were talking about earlier about all the gun craziness in this country. And that's even if Brandon shot the police in cold blood and raced him
right.
Running over children all day long, crashed his car to the front of the church, set it on fire, and then ran down the street screaming profanities, and they chased him. I still don't understand. 27 shots. That's insane. Why would they shoot anybody that way? That's like execution of a killer. It doesn't, I mean, there's nothing possible to justify 27 shots.
No, there's nothing to justify 27 shots. But everybody was probably trigger happy.
Yeah, and the last one was like at the top of his head, like they put a torture shot in the very top of his head. And this was daylight, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, bright and sunny day, everything.
And the woods they said that he ran through, you can't sit in those woods.
Well, and besides the fact that he limped, he can't run anyway. So it's ridiculous.
I was just going to say, given the fact that you said he had this limp, I mean, how could he run?
But
well, the reason why the 27 shots is because they had to make sure that he could not testify what happened.
Exactly.
So now, where are we at today with this case, Georgia? Well, we'll go to you because you've been quiet here. Well, what did the police say to you when they interviewed you?
Well, the first time they interviewed me, they came to my home. And before I can even get it out my mouth to explain to my mom what's been going on, they just ran up in my house with guns. I have a 10-year-old daughter, and a friend of mine's child was out there. And as they're coming inside my home, they're telling me, like, hey, put your hands up. We're looking for Brandon. I know he's in here. And I'm explaining to him, you can check my house. There's no one in here. But my 10-year-old, my friend's child, and my mom, you can put your guns down. The whole time when they're entering my home, they have guns drawn on my child. So I tell her, stand behind me and put your face in my back. So
I mean, did they have a warrant?
No, they did not have anything. They searched my car. They told me that they were going to lock me up for conspiracy, that they was going to charge me with some things because they felt like I knew where my brother was at.
Without
they
a warrant?
Went to my, no, they didn't have a warrant. They then went to my car, and they brought out something where they was wiping the doors down, and they're like, if this turns blue, this will show that he was in that car. So then after they wiped the car down, they say, you see this? You see this? I say, yeah, I see it. That's dirt off my car. I don't see anything blue. And he's like, well, we can lock you up for conspiracy. So then there's a detective, Eslick. He's like, hey, if you don't get your brother to turn himself in, I'm not so sure these guys over here won't kill him. So I'm like, I don't know where my brother is. If I did know where my brother was, I would call him and let him know exactly what y'all are saying to me. So that whole process that was going on, they're still talking about locking me up. You know where Brandon is. We're going to follow you around the whole time. So my mom eventually made them leave. The next day, they came and followed me. Apparently, they had been following me the whole time. I go to a friend of my house. There's like a whole SWAT team jump out the car. They're asking my friend, hey, I know she's in there. Tell her to come outside. So I called my mom, like, y'all need to come over here because these people are harassing me. They get over there. You need to come down to the station. I said, I'm not going anywhere with you guys. If y'all want to ask me any questions, y'all just shot and killed, like, other people in other states. I'm not going anywhere around y'all alone. If my mom and them can go, then I'll go down there with you guys for the questions. So the whole time they still intimate, like, trying to say I have something to do with hiding my brother. I'm like, y'all know I'm not hiding him because y'all been following me since everything started. So once again, they started saying it again. Yes, ma'am.
For this whole time, did they ever show you a warrant?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
During this whole time, did they ever show you a warrant?
No.
Good play. So are you?
No, they didn't.
Are you going to sue them also? Are you part of this case to sue the county or the city of
Wilmington?
Excuse me?
Well,
in Wilmington.
We had a lawyer that's no longer on our case now. So we don't know all the steps to take dealing with this issue.
Why is the lawyer? Yeah, why is the lawyer no longer on the case?
I'm sorry, did you hear me?
Why is the lawyer no longer on your case, working for you?
She basically quit. We had witnesses that
please tell
seen
us
like
the story.
A lot of the full story.
Go ahead.
Okay, well, we found her through the NAACP because we locally, we called a lot of places, and they said, like, a lot of people can't practice law in Wilmington, North Carolina. So we met this other lawyer, whose name is Katie Parker. So the whole time, like, we're dealing with her, giving her evidence, giving her our witnesses and everything, we're thinking that she's for us. So I see one of the witnesses that I gave them the information on. She's like, well, your lawyer came and met with me, but she came and met with me with the DA, and he felt like he was being interrogated. First off, why are you going to talk to any of the witnesses with the DA if you're working for Brandon Smith? So then she told us it was beginning to get too much for her and that her law firm was too small for a case like this.
And she should have said that from the door.
And then she told us any evidence that we need, we have to get a lawyer and send our lawyer over there to get the evidence. She would not release it to us.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was she contacting the DA and witness after she said she was no longer representing him?
That's right.
She did that after she said she was no longer representing him.
Exactly. She went back to our same witnesses before, after she's no longer working for us. And her and the DA approached some of these witnesses and said, hey, this case seemed to be going in another direction. Why are you talking to the witnesses with the DA?
Absolutely. Sonia, who is the DA down there?
Attorney Ben David.
He's the DA?
Mm-hmm.
He's actually a twin, and he's a DA in one county. In New Hanover County, he has a brother that's a DA in a neighboring county.
Yeah, okay, but who is the DA? Those are assistant DAs. Who is the DA?
David, district attorney.
He's the DA. He's the DA, Mike.
Okay, Benjamin, what's his name?
I'm sorry?
Ben
David.
Ben David. Because we want to get this right. Maybe might give him a little call at his office.
Attorney Ben David is the DA. He was early on in the case. The community leaders did talk to him and expressed their concern after the case. But that was it. They asked for an FBI report. That's going to happen in any case. But this family needs justice. So we found it necessary to contact other entities in this particular case.
Okay, but Sonia, did you speak to this, what's his name, Benjamin R. David? Benjamin R. David, did you speak to him yourself? Do you know him?
Yes, we did have a meeting with Ben David. I think Lindsay was there. Ben David, the sheriff, was there because the sheriff's department actually did the shooting, and the sheriff can actually fire his men even after they've been cleared.
So this is a little county police department.
Sonia, hold on just a minute. Everybody can't talk at once, and you have to quiet the background noise where everybody's at, please. You were saying, I was asking you, Sonia, is this a sheriff's department did the shooting, or is it the police department did the shooting?
It was the sheriff's department. We have a sheriff's department and a police, but this came to sheriff.
Right. Sheriff's department is the ones that did the shooting.
Correct.
And an ATF officer.
All right. So now, Wendy, where do the police is? Are we talking about the police being involved in this, or are we talking about the sheriff's department being involved in this?
Sheriff's
department. Okay. Now, you know, the sheriff's department. What's that?
There was an ATF officer.
An ATF officer?
Yes.
So we're talking about the feds now?
Yes.
Mike, I have a question. Can I please ask this question? I want to know why, in a cold crowd of people, they picked out Brandon as a shooter. Why?
That's what we're trying to figure out. It's almost been a year. October 13th will be a year, and they still haven't released the FBI report.
So therefore, the feds were over there conducting something.
The only information that we have gotten was the audio of the shooting and killing of Brandon Smith and an autopsy that does not make no sense.
Oh, yes. But before you finish that, please, just Wendy, explain to us the incredible autopsy.
Yes.
Explain this.
The autopsy says that Brandon Smith was a white male, 30 years old, and was a 30-year-old white male. Lindsay or Georgie, y'all want to address that?
Say it again. It says that
my husband is a 40-year-old white male, uncircumcised, with a goatee, with tattoos on him saying Port City Most Wanted. My husband was not 40, he was 30. He was a black male. He was circumcised. He never had a goatee, and he never had a tattoo on his arm saying Port City Most Wanted. He had God Bless the Child.
And it had cause of death running.
Running?
Running.
Running. Oh, my God.
Running. He was killed in an open field.
Okay, so what we're saying now, you don't mean FBI, Federal Bureau, you mean the State Bureau of Investigation, correct?
FBI.
That stands for Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, ATF.
Yeah, that was an officer that was on the scene.
Okay, was he the probation officer? I mean, there was a probation officer, there was the ATF officer, so there wasn't...
The probation officer was from the first incident of the police shooting.
Well, why was
Okay, so the second, so when they shot, when they approached him and they shot him.
Two sheriffs and one ATF worker.
Can I ask a question? You said there was a second person that was with Brandon when they were taking him to, when he was taking him to turn himself in. What happened to that person?
He got locked up and he's out on parole because he was in some trouble prior to this. And
so he never got shot in all this shooting?
No, he stayed in the car, and he when they pertain him, one of his stimulations is he's not allowed to contact us because they're trying to make him say that Brandon had a gun and Brandon didn't have a gun.
And still, there's never no gun found.
Well, the DA report did say that he didn't have a gun. The DA report states that.
What says that in the DA report? The district attorney's report says what the service says. According to the DA, Brandon was lying down sideways when he was shot at 27 times. And the police chased him in the woods. Brandon supposedly went running in the woods and jumped ditches at the scene. The scenario team...
This ditch is about 8 feet wide.
We need to close down the silence. I don't know where it's coming from. Let's see. Let me close this down. Noise. Okay, that was Wendy. Wendy, you got some music in the background. Let me finish reading this. The scenario seems implausible because the woods are so close, no one could go through them, through those woods, as described, unless the person was a small animal. Okay? When Brendan walked with a limp, and he could not have jumped the ditches and run through the woods. There was, they said, police say, this is what the medical record said, where was the weapon? They could not find a gun. Only a small cell phone. The driver of the car is held in custody. A police record could not be obtained. The sister of the victim, Georgia Davis, does not agree with the statement made by the DA. Okay, I'll bring everybody back. Okay, so, Wendy, your husband did not change colors that you know of?
No.
Okay. Did he ever have a goatee?
No.
He could not run through wood. Yes, he could not run through wood.
No, and he was circumcised. They said that this man that they did an autopsy on was an uncircumcised male.
So, in other words, we don't know where your husband's... Did you ever bury your husband?
Yes.
You did?
Yes, I buried him.
Did they bury your husband, or was it someone else?
I buried my husband.
Okay.
But this autopsy is not my husband. This is somebody else.
So, in other words, do they have a police report?
No, I have not received no police report, no FBI report. They won't release no paperwork. They don't have no paperwork to release to me. Nothing.
So in other words, Becky,
yes.
What do you think of that?
Well, I find it odd. You know, in these little small towns, you know, anything can happen. It seems that they make their rules up as they go along.
Yes.
There's no set guide to follow. And I'm confused by the fact that you had the sheriff's department on the scene, and you had the ATF. So my thing is, you haven't had the chance to speak to the gentleman that was in the car with your husband or your brother. He can be a wealth of information, because for them to say that for them to have shot him in the field, it seems to me that they apparently dragged him out of the car.
Right.
I mean, because given the fact that you say he had a profound lift, so that tells me he cannot run. There's no possibility of running.
The way Brandon.
Go ahead, Wendy. Right. Okay, go ahead, Becky.
And the fact that this has gone on for a year and nothing's been done, and you can't find an attorney, and it's just crazy. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, like, who can you notify?
Well,
get you some help.
Yes. That's why we're gonna go to Sonia now. Sonia, what can be done about it down there, or do you also need outside help?
The Kelly of the Black Leadership Caucus taking every step. We have contacted the Department of Justice, and we have filed an official complaint. For the response to that, we have those factors at this point for getting the entity together. There have been four cases in Hanover County, other three cases involving Wilmington Police Department. And then the Belfast case was a former white sheriff was killed while in custody with the same sheriff's department. And his family have questions about that. So we are really dealing with an incompetent law enforcement and an unjust one based on information and belief. So we have filed an official complaint with the Department of Justice, and to say Brandon Smith was white, but he wasn't light-skinned at all. So to even come to think about, so it was a very sloppy autopsy report, very sloppily done, and there's a lot of important forensic information you can get from an autopsy report, and they're very crucial to any case where there is killing involved. So they do have the audio. But we submitted over 100 page report based on information and belief to the Department of Justice, and we're just hoping that it will bring a light to some of this.
Somebody will take a look at it and see their handle. How about the ACLU? Have you notified the ACLU?
Yeah, the ACLU have you notified the ACLU?
The American Civil Liberties Union. Have you notified them?
Sonia?
No, I'm sorry. No, we haven't. We called the Department of Justice for a mediator, and also because we never had a citizens review board with subpoena, let alone one with subpoena in this town, and for some other issues that need to happen after this is solved. But we not only did that, we filed a
Did you file a wrongful death suit against the city of Wilmington or something?
We had a lawyer.
Did you have a copy of the report filed against based on information, belief of excessive force by law force, violation of unconstitutional rights for Brandon Smith in the case of Brandon Smith?
I think that you all should notify the ACLU because they can kind of direct you as far as lawyers are concerned that have handled cases like this before, and they may be able to help you beyond, what you've already done.
So they can help the Department of Justice?
No, the ACLU.
Right.
Okay.
ACLU needs reform. As a matter of fact, Sonia, when we get finished today, I will call you later. And I think after we're finished with our, with this event coming up down here, I think we need to.
And how about how about the North Carolina Attorney General, Roy Cooper? Have you notified him?
No, we have not. We went straight. We kind of, we hadn't, because we think that the higher entity other than the state entity should be involved this particular tent, but I'll be more than happy to send a copy of this to North Carolina Attorney General. But we advised a formal complaint against the Sheriff's Department and the Wilmington Police Department.
Yeah, well, Sonia, the first step should have been with the Attorney General, with the North Carolina SBI. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to have the
On the FBI report, the FBI report happens in all cases. That's protocol.
Right. Okay. Well, what we're going to do is that we're going to have our caucus here in Charlotte-Mecklenburg go and assist you guys to make sure some. How long ago is this? This is it's
a year.
So we need to make sure something needs to be done about this now. This is completely ludicrous.
Just,
so,
is there no law or statute that compels them to release the police reports?
Yeah, well, the ACLU will get them to release. Yeah, it's they have to because it's this is Sunshine Law.
Even just public record.
Right, it's public record.
Somehow,
everything the police do is public record except what pay raises they give the people and what insurance they have. Everything they do is public record. Mm-hmm. And if they don't release it, they're violating the law as it is. So,
And they have a CD. They have a is it a video, Georgia? The last month. You have. I think Georgia has a video. The family has a video of the last moment of this.
I didn't get through that.
The last moment.
Who's got the video? Who has the video? Who has the video? Who's got the video?
I'm sorry. The conversation like kind of blinked out.
I'm sorry. They do have a video of his last moments, and you can those last moments you can see where injustice had to take place.
We have the audio. She never released us the video.
Hold on, ladies. Who has the audio?
I have the audio.
Yeah.
What
is
it?
Yes, I have the audio. Yeah, it's an audio, and it's a body cam that's on one of the officers, and you can hear when they're chasing them, and then all of a sudden you hear all the shots go off at all of them go off, and then you hear an officer saying, fuck yeah.
It said, hands, let me see your fucking hands afterwards.
And then they're celebrating saying, like, fuck yeah, like they shot, they killed them.
Yeah.
So how many officers are involved in this?
A lot.
It was three. They claim it was three officers that fired their gun. It was about 20 officers that were on the pursuit. And whenever we talk to the lawyer, they don't have no login, no logout sheet.
Tell them about the canines, Lindsay.
They're supposed to do. They're supposed to log in and log out when they get to the scene and everything that they do. There's no like log in, log out, and they had the canine at the scene, and you can hear on the audio the canine is saying, do you want me to get the leash? And that's the leash that tells them where the dog goes, and the other guy says, no, don't let them off. Like, don't let the canine off.
Yeah, they did.
So, Becky, what do you think of that?
You know what? I was I'm looking up the guy. There's a guy in New York with the ACLU, and his name I think is Ron Liebowitz. And I was trying to research it to give them a point of contact because, you know, maybe they could contact him and they could and he could direct them.
Well, okay.
So
well,
I really didn't hear what she was saying just now.
Oh, you didn't hear?
Oh, there's no like officers are supposed to log in and log out at the time of the scene and crimes and stuff that they do. So at the scene, no officers completed their login log out sheet.
Are you talking about
their
memo book? Are you supposed
to
know whenever you respond to a job, you are supposed to know that in your memo book, and it should also be on the radio transactions that take place over the radio. You're responding to a scene, so all that is public record too.
Yeah, and they're saying there's none of that. They didn't do a login log out sheet.
Oh, his name is Ron Kirby.
Write that down.
Of the ACLU, and I know that
ACLU. Oh yeah, I
know
who
Ron Kirby is. Someone said yes, they know who he is.
Yes, I do. This is Michael. I know him because I'm from New York.
Yeah, exactly. He is the man. So you know.
Tell them how long they left them laying out there.
9 hours.
How many hours?
Nine.
Oh, my God.
How many
hours? Oh, my God.
9 hours?
Oh, and the biggest part, they never allow us to ID him. Nobody can set their eyes on him.
Could you say, I missed it. How many times did they have him laying out there?
How many hours?
9 hours, Mike. Had he ever been locked up before?
Yes.
Okay, what was he locked up? What was he locked up for prior?
A driving while license suspended.
This guy's been like in his early 20s. You know, a lot of changes in his life since then. This is what you know, probably didn't make good choices then, but this is early 20s.
Because what I'm getting at is because it seems that he was under their radar. So I'm like, you know, what precipitated? What has happened?
Well, first, they had a reward out. They had money out, a reward out, not for him, but for the suspect. So when people start seeing dollar signs, they're going to come up with all kinds of names.
Exactly.
But everybody comes up with Ron's name? I mean,
Brandon? Yes. Did they break any law by not letting nobody identify him?
Well, they don't have to. They don't have to let you ID him at the scene, but you should have been able to ID him at the mall.
Right.
Yeah, we got his body 3 days later.
They took his body with the officer. There's officer's name that was at the scene when he got killed that went to the autopsy.
I want to give you this number for Ronald Kirby in New York. You ready to take the number down?
Yes.
Yeah.
His first name is Ronald. The last name is spelled K-U. B as in boy. Y. And the telephone number is 212-529-0223.
See, I'm becoming to think that is just a major epidemic in the black community. And the reason why I'm saying that is because this doesn't seem to be a theme that is just happening. In the black community, it seems like it's just almost it's running amok in the black community, and it's not just relegated to
low income. Yeah, it's not.
It's not really. I'm doing it.
You're right, Mike. You see what they did to that Harvard graduate producer on his way to Emmy party?
That's right. And what I want to do is I want to play this short scenario, which I just heard today before we went online. There was a grandmother who asked in where in Mississippi?
Jackson,
Mississippi. A grandmother in her house who heard a burglar and called police. That's the setup. Now, I want everybody to listen.
Now to a read alert out of Jackson, Mississippi, where the family of a woman brutally murdered last month is getting ready to take legal action. At 3:30 in the morning on July 16th, Ruth Helen Harrison called 911 and told the dispatcher this.
So I have a prowler around my house at 2715 Kings Road Avenue.
What's your name, please?
Ruth Harrington.
We're sent to police.
Thank you.
Two police officers were sent to Ms. Harrington's home after that call, but according to the Clarion Ledger, when the officers arrived 8 minutes later, nobody answered the door and they left. 11 hours later, Harrington's brother found her body in her backyard. The coroner says she was beaten, strangled, her neck broken, and shot in the face. 29-year-old Alonzo Stewart is being held without bond, and police say he admitted to the crime. Last month, former police chief Lindsay Horton, who has since retired, admitted the officers mishandled the case.
Absolutely, they did.
General practice is to reach out and make sure that the welfare of an individual they called like that is covered and taken care of. And that did not happen that night. And I am not pleased with it.
Court Brandon also said the officers involved would receive a, quote, behavior modification, so they never made that mistake again. We reached out to the Jackson Police Department for a comment. They referred us to the DA, who we were unable to contact. And joining me now on the phone from Jackson is Angela Harrion, Helen Ruth Harrion's daughter. And Angela, what sort of contact have you had, has the family had with the city or with the police department, and what is their explanation as to why police didn't attempt make a stronger attempt to make contact with your mom?
Actually, we've had no answers.
And so you, what is the purpose of taking legal action? Are you seeking recompense for the city? Are you seeking just answers as to what happened and what broke down?
And justice for my family and my mother.
And for you, what would that mean? What does justice mean to you?
Well, she depended on law enforcement. That's why she made the call. And the response time and their protocol just was not taken.
And in the community where your mom lived, was there a sense that police were generally responsive when neighbors called, when people called the police?
Unfortunately, no.
And why do you suppose that is? What do you put that down to?
The African-American community.
Now, in this case, the police chief was African-American. Is it a sense, you know, obviously there isn't a racial disparity between the police department, at least the head of the police department, and the community. So why was there a feeling that the police didn't respond?
There was, there's too much that went on. I know after she made the 911 call and if the response time protocol was taken, she could have been saved.
Yeah. And what do you want people to know about your mom?
How beautiful she was.
Well, Becky, what do you think of that?
With what happened there, their training went out the window. Because you are trained that when you respond to a burglary in progress, first of all, you are supposed to check all perimeters of that house. And when they didn't get it, and it's 3 in the morning, so where could the lady have gone? Hello, was she just left? No, she didn't just leave. You go, you knock on the door. If you don't get no answer, you call for us. I don't know what they do in Mississippi, but for us, we may have to call a sergeant to the scene because, you know, we got a live call for a burglary. We walked the perimeter of the house. We checked the backyard. We checked all doors. There's been no entry. So now, because we got an elderly person, and she sounded elderly, and we know that she didn't just get up and leave at 3 in the morning, we need to call a sergeant to the scene. Then the sergeant has to make a determination whether we're going to call emergency service.
We have a former resident of Mississippi here in Thomas. Thomas, what do they do down there?
Not a hell of a lot.
I was going to say apparently nothing, but anyway.
So Mississippi has a host of problems. You know that. One of the reasons I immigrated to America. I wanted to leave this behind. But so I don't understand why, if it was the Krispy Kreme down the street that distracted them or what happened, but they should have done the job. Supposedly they went there, didn't get an answer, and just left. That to me just sounds...
Well, we don't even know if they went there.
Supposedly. I like that.
That's my point. I think they never responded.
Right.
Because that's what happens usually in the black community.
Right.
I think that's what happened. I mean, that's the question. They knocked, didn't get an answer.
Sonia, what do you think about that same case you just played? George, we have a lot of noise on your line, George.
Incident is just unbelievable. The law enforcement always has the reputation of supposed responding to the black community. That's been happening for long as I can remember. And unfortunately, this time, it resulted in an unnecessary tragedy. You know, you have people grieving for the loss of a mother. So this law, it's just hard to trust in law enforcement anymore. They're just like they're there to protect and serve, and they're just not coming up far when it comes to the African-American community.
Well, but what I'd like to say, I want to tell you, Sonia, that we at the Charlotte Mecklenburg chapter of the Black Leadership Caucus is going to be assisting you and Wendy and Georgia to get some.
Hey, what was Brandon's last name?
Smith.
Oh, Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what I want to do is I want to thank you, Georgia and Wendy, and you know,
thank you.
I want you to hold on, but I'll be getting in touch with you, Sonia, this weekend sometime, okay? And then we can have a conference call between Sonia, Wendy, and Georgia sometime during the early part of the week next week.
Okay. Okay.
All right? And, all right. Georgia and Wendy, I'm sorry for your loss. We will try to get to the bottom of this. We cannot let another year go by without finding out what happened to bring those adjustments that caused this whole problem.
And we thank you
for being on the line. And Sonia, thank you also. And I will be calling you, Sonia, sometime this weekend.
Okay, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Okay, appreciate it. And that was
thank you.
Thank you. Becky, stay. Oh, well, I lost you, Becky. What happened? Let me call Becky back here.
The DA there, she was accurate. Twin brothers, Ben and John David, they're both DAs, have a 5-county spread. How's that for a nice little feast?
You can believe that. I need to give, let's see, I want to give Becky back a call because we lost her. Because I want her, where's my phone, on our movie quiz program that's coming up. Let me give her a catch. Go ahead. I mean, we didn't even get to the stuff we wanted to do because we went so long on that.
Yeah, but that was important.
But it's outrageous.
Everything about it was wrong, but the kid got.
Right.
I mean, you've got cops shooting cops. You've got just let's find any suspect and blame them, and then you've got this apparent execution of
right.
a young man.
It was.
And,
it was an execution.
And again, like I said, no matter how horrible he was, if he was committing every crime right,
right.
there in Main Street,
right.
they shouldn't have shot him 27 times.
No, heck no.
So
I
something
mean, yeah.
is very wrong with that whole situation all the way through. So it bothers me greatly. But I do appreciate Ms. Rowe's expertise, because that was very refreshing. Because, I mean, we've got the victims on, and they're victims. They're sitting here saying, we don't have reports, we're not getting responses, you know.
I mean,
that's one thing. But then to hear a police officer also say, that's not right.
Well, listen,
so
hey.
They didn't follow procedure here, there, and
hell
there.
No.
That's good.
Hell no. The thing is, okay, Becky, I see you back online. And Mr. Gaff, I'll be with you in a minute. The thing is, it's just like the Ferguson case. There's no police report.
Right.
I was there. There was a homicide. But you can guess what happened.
I'll just tell you.
And can you tell me, well, hey, you lived in Mississippi, that other country. How, I mean, this probably happened all the time.
No, it does happen all the time. That's one of the reasons, like I told you one time before, about 6 months ago or something, we were talking about another case, I think the case with the boy incarcerated forever. But we were talking about things that happened, and I said, you know, in Mississippi at one time, they had a rash of supposed suicide.
Yeah.
Where all of the black people failed in prison. And it happened so often there that
oh, this is in Clinton.
Yeah.
Okay.
But this stuff happens all the time. And like she, I think Becker said this earlier, these small towns, small towns, sometimes operate under their own rules. And it's just the old boy that it's always been with.
Well, we got Becky back online. Becky, because did that happen when, where you worked at in Staten Island? Becky?
Oh, Mike, what did you say?
Didn't that scenario with the old boy network work in Staten Island?
Oh, yeah. Staten Island's off the hook, as we can see. It made the news, finally. How about that?
Finally, huh?
They think they're a little small town of their own, Staten Island. That's what the problem is.
Well, you have to take a ferry to get there or go over to George Washington Bridge. That's George Washington, Staten Island.
You got to go over the bridge to get to the Bronx, too. But they're not a little island of their own.
They're all islands.
We got five islands.
Well, what I'm trying to say is they're not a little city, but the Bronx is not a city of its own.
Yes, that's true.
But only one has a Soprano.
Yeah, only one has the surprise. So, but before when we go to our movie quiz, I wanted to get some explanation from Becky, from you, about what you think happened in the Staten Island case where they killed the gentleman with the chokehold.
Oh, you talking about Garner?
Yes.
Oh, what, you want my take on it?
Yes.
Oh, you don't want my take on that, Mike. Oh, my God.
Yes, I do.
I think that everybody from the commander on down should be transferred. The commander knew that he had a bunch of high heads in his precinct, and he failed to command them. He failed to give them command discipline for all the misconduct that was going on in Staten Island. He knew that he had a bunch of renegade cops running through the command, harassing people, locking them up for no reason for simple-ass crimes. What, are you kidding me? Come on now. Don't get me started.
Well, here's the thing. In Ferguson,
a bunch of damn cowboys. That's what they were.
In Ferguson, they got 21,000 people, and they issued in 1 year 24,000 arrests. Now, how is that possible? And only 3% of those arrests were white.
What a coincidence.
And if you look at what...
I like that.
If you look at what the town produced, they get four times the revenues from the court system. Now, how is that? Four times the revenue.
They're giving tickets to the black folks, but they're not giving the white folks any tickets. Is that what you're saying?
Well, here's the thing that's worse than even that. They issue 93% of the arrests. So I guess I was wrong, 7%. 93% of the arrests are African American. 93% of the arrests are African American. Now, only 67% are African Americans in the county. And the thing is that the judges at the court only once a month. So when you're arrested and you can't pay your fine, you sit in court for the next 3 weeks or 2 months.
You see, these little small towns have the good old boy mentality. You know what I mean? So they still stuck back in ancient time, in these cowboy days.
And speaking about cowboy days, Mr. Gaffney, what have
yes,
you
sir.
About that? What have you got to say about that? What we were just talking about.
Staten Island is very community. Each community is a separate little town, like. So that's the way it runs.
I mean, but it's like a Clint Eastwood movie.
Shoot 'em up, bang, bang. That's right. We shoot at you, but you can't shoot at us.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's just what we
get. That might sound good. Maybe the black people gather around.
Get their own gun.
They should paint the town red.
Oh!
And then wait for them to return.
Oh, yes!
See how that'll go over.
Yeah, it seems like I saw that movie.
Their favorite gunfighter trip right off the
head. I see that movie. the arrest in that movie. I mean, the arrest in that movie. I think it's a movie. The arrest in Ferguson.
Well, it's one of those things that's so unreal that it shouldn't be. You just
naturally think it's a daggone movie. And the thing about it is that it ain't.
That's true. Like you ride through Transylvania.
Right.
You're taking your chance when you ride through Ferguson. You better go real slow. They still going to pull you over.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So
driving while black.
Driving while black. Absolutely correct. Mr. Gaffney.
Yes, sir.
You're here today, and for a very good reason, because we want that, you know, I have not talked about the movies in such a long time. And I know Becky is a major, major movie buff.
Huh?
What's that?
It depends. What movie is that, Mike?
Well, hey, we're going to find out your knowledge of the movies, because we are now going to start the movie quiz.
Okay, movie quiz.
With our host, Mr. George Gaffney.
Okay, movie quiz.
Mr. Gaffney, you're going to take it from here.
Well, first of all, I want to say something about the movies. People don't understand what the movie is. The movie theater is a restaurant. It's a restaurant that shows films. It's not a film place that has snacks. It's a restaurant. The movie theater is a restaurant. They make their money off of the snacks, the candy, what you eat. They don't make their money off of the movies.
Right.
Now, sometimes if there's a very popular movie coming out, well, first of all, here's the thing. Movies are driven in this country by children. In other words, only young people and kids count. They go to the movies. A good adult that's considered a good movie goer goes to the movies. This is a good movie goer 6 times a year.
Yeah.
Six times a year.
George, wait a minute. Now, George, growing up, you know that was more than 6 times a year when you went. I remember I went at least twice a week with my grandmother because she was collecting plates and glasses and silverware.
I know that's right, Mike.
Again.
So you did too, George.
Your grandmother didn't have television. She didn't have cell phones. She didn't have anything coming out. She didn't have videotape.
She didn't have Netflix.
She didn't have Netflix.
Listen, you know better than that, the major had a movie set, and I had a movie set in 1947. We were the only, I don't remember, but we were the first ones to have a movie set. So when she came home, she watched Jackie Gleason. So what happened to the movie? The movies back then were palaces. They had an upstairs and downstairs. They had a balcony where you could smoke upstairs. And you used to buy the hot dogs, and you could buy hamburgers, and you could take them all in. Now you do all that, but it's like you what you said. It's a market now. It's a food store. It ain't a movie, correct? In a living room set.
Anyway, let me get back to that. A good adult moviegoer is 6 times a year. Okay,
yeah,
a good one. That's considered good. There's better than that, but if you do 6 times a year, you're good. Adults don't get to go to the movies often. Okay, now, the other thing is a kid goes 24 times a year.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's nothing for a kid to go every 2 weeks he's in the movie theater. All right? So, next thing is this. They don't make money off the tickets because no matter how much you pay for a ticket, the movie theater only gets about $2.50. You can pay $10, you can pay $12, you can pay $15, it doesn't matter. They only get to keep about $2.50. Now, sometimes the movie theater gets no money from the tickets.
Really?
They get absolutely no money from selling tickets, because what happens is if a big movie's coming out, and a big movie has to be a children's movie, Godzilla, Spider-Man, stuff that kids will be attracted to. Adults may like it, but the kids are the ones that are attracted to it. If the movie company doesn't give that theater that film, they won't make any money. So therefore, what they'll do is they'll show the movie for a week or two and not keep any of the profit. They'll give it all to the movie company because it's like a ransom they're paying. It's like a ransom they're paying to get that movie. Because if you don't have Godzilla when everybody else has it, if you don't have Spider-Man when everybody else has it, nobody will be in your theater since kids dominate the theater. All right. Now, so what they make their money off of is the concessions. They get all of the concessions. And then there's one more thing. People think that they're cheating the theater if they go from one movie to another. The man who designed the first multiplex was on television in New York in the 70s, like 1977 or something. And he told a reporter, he says, "We made the theater so you can sneak around from theater to theater. Because if you leave, we don't make any money. If you stay, you'll eat. If you didn't eat for the first show, you'll eat for the second show because you feel like, well, I didn't pay for a ticket, so I have money I can use to eat. If you ate the first show, then you're going to eat the second show because you're a person that eats. So if they keep you in that movie theater, they make money. They don't want you to leave, and it's bad management if they harass you during the week. Now, on Fridays, Saturdays, and sometimes Sunday, the movie's crowded. So therefore, they want you to leave when your time is up. But during the week, they don't want you to leave. They care if you go to 7 movies in a row. One more thing. A movie only shows for like, if it shows for 4 weeks, for 5 weeks, 6 weeks is like top. So therefore, if adults only go to the movie 6 times a year, they won't be there when any other movie is still there when they come back. So therefore, you're not hurting the theater if you sneak into a movie that you wouldn't come back to see anyway. Okay, now, after all that groundwork, let's go to the quiz.
Let me ask you some questions. See, now, back in the old days when I was going, I mean, we had TV. I mean, so it wasn't like, oh, we're starting on TV. I mean, we got M-Squad, we got Gunsmoke, we got the Jackie Gleason show, we got that Sullivan show, we got with the Daniel Boone and David Crockett. So, but the thing was, my grandmother went to these movies twice a week because she was collecting this gimmick to get you into the movies because I believe they thought they were going to lose out because of television. Am I correct?
They thought they were going to lose out on what?
They thought they would lose the audience because of television.
They thought television would kill the movies?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Well, yeah,
right.
But that's a misconception. There's enough people to satisfy both. And again, when you're talking about when we were growing up, the movies were so limited. I mean, the television was so limited. I mean, when we got our television, I was the first one on my block. I had 16 of my friends every day sitting in the house watching the shows from 5 o'clock or something until dinner started, 4:30, or until dinner started. They just, because all your friends would come over because I was the only one who had a television. Then the crowd would get smaller as people got television.
Television
is not an enemy of the movies, really. Because some things, I mean, you don't want to see King Kong for the first time on a television screen if you can get to see it in a movie theater.
That's right.
So the other thing is this. A movie, what keeps the movies going more than anything is this. There's something that's inside of people. There's a romanticism to go into the movie sitting in the dark with somebody you care about. To have to hold hands or whatever you're going to do in that movie theater in the dark is a primal thing. It's something you can't, another thing is, it's the cheapest date. If you take somebody to a club, you're going to spend a lot of money. If you take them to dinner, you're going to spend a lot of money. If you take them to the movies, you know exactly how much you're going to spend. And so the movie still comes out to be the cheapest date. And, again, the movie is just it's something about it that's romantic to sit in the dark with somebody you care about.
Now, you see, Becky's the only lady on this show here. Is that true?
I have to disagree with that. Especially sitting in movies with somebody that's scared about. People go to the movies by themselves today. A long time ago, that was in effect. But today, no, it's not.
Whatever. But that's what movie. That's one of the things the movies endure on. And these people. Again, if you're going by adults, your adults are not the audience. You can say what you want. If an adult never set foot in a movie, that movie can make a fortune. If a kid never set foot in that movie with clothes on.
Right. Well, you know, that I remember when I went to the movie, I mean, I would take my young lady out, I mean, maybe 3 times a month we'd go to the movie.
Because it was cheap. Now, I agree with that because it was cheap.
Absolutely. Yeah,
and you're sitting in the dark. If you were going to the movies and you were sitting in a room where the lights were fully on, you wouldn't go to the movie.
I couldn't do that at my house. I couldn't do it at her house. So the thing was that, the only thing with me is that it cost me 2 car fares to get there and 2 car fares to get back. It cost me longer to go there and come back than the whole movie. In the rain. And in the cold weather. Okay, but let's get to the quiz. The movie quiz. And remember.
All right.
Okay.
Now,
remember,
the floor. The movie quiz is this type of movie quiz is, if you didn't see the movie, you're basically a dead duck. So you can't, it's not like something you can sit down and figure it out. If you didn't see it, you're dead. So let's just go on. All right, number one. The quote is, "It's alive. It's alive."
Oh, I know that. It's alive. It's alive.
Frankenstein. The original
Frankenstein. Frankenstein. Very good.
Yes.
All right. Again, this is considered the most classic of all movie quotes. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a hoot.
Give a damn. I know that.
Casablanca.
No, not Casablanca.
That is Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind. Clark Gable says, "Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn," and they had to get permission
to
use the word "damn"
that.
In the movie.
That's correct.
I thought that was Harvey Korman.
No, that was.
Okay. All right. We're not in Kansas anymore.
We're not in Kansas anymore.
That little Dorothy.
No, we're not in Kansas anymore. That
listen,
was
these
not...
movies are before my time.
Hey, listen, Columbus was before your time, too, but you know who he is.
Because they say he discovered America, but he really didn't. He just happened upon the Indians.
Right.
Well, I heard Tom give the name, so Tom knows the answer.
Yeah, that's who it is.
I know that in my time, they had a rock group named after the dog.
That's right. It was a rock group.
Okay, so what's the New York? Did anybody say the name of the movie?
The
Wizard of Oz. Wizard of Oz.
The Wizard of Oz. Right.
That's right.
Frank Baum.
Yeah. All right. Elementary, my dear. Blank.
This morning, Chris.
That elementary, my dear, and see that was said in so many of his movies. With Sherlock Holmes.
Right. That's what it is. As soon as you hear elementary, you got it.
Yep.
Elementary, my dear, Holmes Watson. So Sherlock Holmes, any Sherlock Holmes picture.
Any Sherlock Holmes, he says that.
Okay. My mother thanked you. My father thanked you. My sister thanked you, and I thank you.
That's right. That's from the George M. Cohan movie. What's that?
Did you come up with the name?
Can we get the movie Dating Up?
That was
it's George M. Cohan's movie. Who played George M. Cohan?
That was Jimmy Cagney.
Right.
Oh, my God. Who is that?
That is, hold on 1 minute, I'm going to get it. That's it. I love that movie.
Mickey Mantle, Babe Ruth, Roger Maris.
You've got to be kidding me. This is not fair.
No, listen. You see, and in the movie, which made it so great, is that he was born on the 4th of July.
Right, so you got the name of the movie?
Yeah, it's coming.
Listen, Mickey Mantle, Babe Ruth.
Yankee Doodle Dandy,
really?
That's right.
Mike, this is set up for you to win.
No, it ain't.
It's going to get younger in a little while.
Right.
This is all this old-time stuff here. All right. I've always depended on the kindness of strangers.
Tyler Perry. Oh, yeah. Good deed. I'm just saying.
I've always depended on the kindness of strangers.
Oh, yeah. That was said by a woman.
It's a mode of transportation.
The mode of transportation. Automobile.
No.
Train.
Say it. I heard you say it.
Was it? Streetcar.
You got it? Okay, but what's the name of the whole thing? Tennessee Williams.
Tennessee Williams.
Yeah.
A streetcar named Desire.
Named Desire.
That's what I say.
Stella.
Okay. Yes, that's Stella, right. That's it, Stella. Okay,
Stella.
Next one.
See, you do that, Becky. Go ahead.
The next one. What we have here is a failure to communicate.
Denzel Washington.
Oh,
no,
that was Paul Newman.
Not Denzel. It's way before his time.
That was
Paul's time.
Cool Hand Luke, as Thomas says. That's who that was. Cool Hand Luke.
Cool Hand Luke, right. Stroder Martin said that to
Cool
Paul
Hand
Newman.
Luke. Who is that?
Oh, you need to see that. Paul Newman. That's where
Paul
he's
Newman.
On the
Paul
he's
Newman,
on
right.
The
see, that's why I knew that movie.
That's right. Took place in Mississippi. You see, Paul Newman's on the chain gang, and this guy, who is the guy? I forgot his name. He's dead
Stroder
now.
Martin. Stroder
yeah,
Martin.
Says to him, because the people there, he was the head of the chain gang. He was the warden, and they weren't listening. So he said he's going to make them listen. And he stood up in front of them and said, well, he was talking to Paul Newman. And he says, what we have here is a failure to communicate. And what he was going to make Paul Newman do, he was telling everybody because he was going to beat his butt. Do I have that correct, Mr.
And Mikey, and this took place in Staten Island.
It did it really? You're right. It did take place in Staten Island. You're right. See, Becky, you weren't there when he said that. That's when he used to have the chain gang in Staten Island.
No, I wasn't.
Okay. All right. Now, this famous actor said he was asked his name. He was asked what he's called. And he said, where I come from, they call me Mr. Tibbs.
Mr. Tibbs. Oh, what is his name? Why can't I say his name?
Sidney Poitier.
To Star in Love.
No.
Sidney Poitier.
In the heat of the night, right.
Mr. Tibbs, in the heat of the night. That's right. I knew that one. I remember that.
Okay. Now this is a very contemporary one. You'll get this one. Okay. This person asked somebody else, do you feel lucky?
Oh, yeah. That is
punk. Do you?
Do you, punk? As a matter of fact, that I want to tell you, that gentleman who's laying on the ground in front of Clint Eastwood, it was about 15 years ago, I had him sitting at my dining room table because we were at the NAACP contest they had for judges that we had to judge movies, And they also had singing and dancing, who were the best competition in this part of the country. And we got to talking, got very good friends, and I advised him to go back to his hotel. I said, no, come over to my house for dinner. So he came right here, and I took he met my youngest daughter and my wife. She cooked dinner for him, and we had a great time. And he said that Clint Eastwood was one of his best friends he ever knew. And Clint Eastwood always has the same producers and actors that in all his movies, if he can. And that movie was Clint Eastwood in, what was the first one? The first one was...
Well, Mike, he fell off after he said he talked to that empty chair.
It was just, Clint Eastwood, it was named after the character. What was the title character?
It was Dirty Harry. That's right. That was the first
Dirty
one.
Dirty Harry.
Right. Dirty Harry.
Okay, next one. This person gave advice to somebody, and he told them, keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
Keep your friends close, but your enemies close.
Godfather. That was the Godfather, the original number one, and it was said by the Godfather to Michael Corleone, his son. It was son Michael. And he told him, keep your friends close. And Michael said it again. He said, my father always said to me to keep my friends close. And keep my friends close, but my enemies closer.
Right.
Hey, Mike, can you cue in Bernard? Because he's a movie buff. He would have beat you out, Mike.
Well, hey, Bernard, get on the... He'd be listening, you know.
I've been trying to scream at you guys since The Wizard of Oz.
Oh,
well. I know he would know.
The thing is, Bernard, when you come up here, it didn't come up with your number. It just came up with 10 ones.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what that means.
All right.
That's your super secret number?
Yes. I thought I was calling somebody else. Excuse me.
You know he has many aliases, Mike.
Is that right? Well,
that's right.
We have to put that down. Okay, George, go ahead.
All right. This person asked a question. You talking to me?
Taxi driver Robert De Niro.
Robert De Niro.
Right.
Taxi driver.
And what picture?
Taxi driver,
right.
Jesus.
Next one. I love the smell of napalm in the morning. It reminds me.
I love
that. That's Martin Sheen, and that is Apocalypse Now.
That's not Martin Sheen saying that.
Okay. Robert Duvall.
Right.
Robert Duvall
says it.
Robert Duvall, yeah.
Right. He's sad to see Vietnam end. He doesn't want to see the war end.
What's that?
Okay. I love the smell of napalm in the morning. What a cool quote.
Right.
Okay. All right. What about this one? Make my day.
Clint Eastwood.
Get
the same thing. Dirty Harry.
Same picture. Right.
Dirty
Very
Harry.
Good.
I
Very
know
good.
It was Clint Eastwood.
I was trying to throw you off by having the same one twice. But it's Make My Day, Dirty Harry.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Wax on, wax off.
Karate Kid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he got it.
And who said it?
Oh, Jesus. Pat somebody. Pat
right.
somebody.
Marita.
Thank you.
Excuse me,
my movie person. That's an
right.
adult right there. He goes to the movies 20 times a month.
Well,
he wants you to know that. So he falls in there with the kids. He goes 20 times a month.
This one is
alone. During the day.
Becky.
No. That's because he needs to concentrate and he don't want nobody else around.
Well, that's true. That's
right.
I am. Listen, I showed him my film library. I got over 1,500 films in my film library here. And he still hasn't watched
the movie I gave him to watch.
I will watch it tonight for sure. For
yeah,
sure.
You said 2 weeks ago.
No, I watch it tonight. I'm not going nowhere. I'll watch it tonight for sure.
All right. All right, George. Go ahead.
All right, this one won't take a second. I'll be back.
Oh, that is...
Arnold Schwarzenegger Terminator.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah.
In what picture?
The Terminator.
The Terminator, right.
Original.
I'll be back.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, this one you can get to. You call that a knife?
Crocodile Dundee.
Paul Hogan, Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah.
All right, next one. Yippee-ki-yay.
And that was disgusting. Yeah, well,
Yippee-ki-yay.
The original Die Hard.
Right, the original Die Hard.
Right. No, listen, wasn't there another one? It was Dr. Strangelove when he was on the bomb going down?
Didn't he say that?
No. You're thinking of Dr. Strangelove.
Right.
Yeah, that's the one where I love that actor. I can't remember his name now, but cowboy guy who was always in John Wayne pictures.
Right.
And he said he screamed when he was going down on the bomb in Dr. Strangelove.
Right.
Okay.
Get something else. Go ahead.
All right.
Okay.
I'm trying to look this up. Oh, okay. Ready? This one might throw you off. I do wish we could talk longer, but I'm having a friend for dinner.
Oh, please. That is Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
He said that at the very end of the movie when he was going after the doctor.
That was the last scene in the picture, right? He was on the phone. He saw the guy coming, doctor, whatever the doctor's name was, and he couldn't stand the doctor.
Right.
I'm having a friend for dinner, and he meant he was having a friend for dinner.
Right. That was Dr. Childress. And he says, I'm sorry I can't talk to you longer, Therese, but I'm having a friend for dinner.
All right. Now, Mikey, you shouldn't even get a chance to answer this one. You shouldn't be allowed to answer this one at all. There's no crying in baseball.
There's no what?
There's no crying in baseball.
Mike, you said that yesterday, Mike. Bernard should not answer that because I said that the other day.
You said it yesterday and today. I can answer it.
Did anybody say the answer?
Did you say what
name did you call it?
Major League.
Not Major League.
See, you failed your own.
Yeah.
Well,
no,
way to go.
Okay, there's no crying in baseball. What's the name of the pitcher and who said it?
Come on, Mike. Right.
Tom Hanks, and what's the name of the movie?
A League of Their Own.
A League of Their Own, that's right.
Tom Hanks and A League of Their Own.
Right.
All right, well, this, again, life is like a box of chocolates.
Forrest Gump, Tom Hanks.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to use that line again when this
goes. I know you are.
Okay. All right. Let's move on there. That's good.
Okay. Have you got time?
Yeah, sure we got time. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Okay. You can't swim? Question. You can't swim? Hell, the fall will probably kill you.
Absolutely. That was Sundance that said that too.
That's not
the name of the Paul Newman.
And it was Butch Cassidy.
What's the name of the
Sundance Kid? Sundance Kid.
That's right.
Butch Cassidy and the
Sundance
Kid.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
Are you ready?
So all right. Is that Eye of Bolivian Army or what?
Yeah. No, they were being chased by what's the name? The guy with the hat. That was I forgot what his name was. They would
yeah,
you never see him.
No.
You never really see him, but he was always chasing him. Okay, next one. I'll have what she's having.
What's that?
That's so many.
It's in a restaurant, and one person says the waitress, I'll have what she's having.
When Harry met Sally.
That's right. That's it.
I said that so much, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
It could have been me. Okay. Next.
Okay.
Okay.
You'll need a bigger boat.
That was Jaws.
Who said it?
Roy Scheider said it to the captain.
What was his name? Robert Shaw.
Robert Shaw was the captain. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
I may not be a smart man, but I know what love is.
Again, that was, Tom Hanks said it in the movie.
Forrest Gump. Said it to his girlfriend. That's right.
Right.
Said it to Jenny. That's right.
Okay. Shirley, you can't be serious. I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Don't call me Shirley.
Young Frankenstein. That was Young Frankenstein.
No,
not
Airplane.
Young Frankenstein.
Oh,
Airplane.
Yeah, that's right.
Airplane.
Sure. Yeah, you're
Airplane.
Right. I said correctly.
And who was the doctor?
Actor was Nielsen.
Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah, Leslie Nielsen. I'm asking you because I couldn't remember. I forgot. Okay. What is this?
I just remember the guy had a drinking
problem. I'm walking here.
Midnight Cowboy, Dustin Hoffman.
Midnight Cowboy.
Cowboy, Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman didn't say it.
No.
Hit the cab?
Yeah, Dustin Hoffman said that. When he was crossing
the street.
Who said it? That was Dustin Hoffman. He was walking with.
Not Dustin Hoffman saying, I'm walking here.
I'm walking here. He said that crossing the street.
Not Dustin Hoffman.
Who was it then?
Al Pacino.
No, Al Pacino.
Dustin Hoffman. Look it up right now. That was Dustin Hoffman who was walking with, who's the tall guy who I can't stand now, who's the complete Republican moron.
Are you talking about Angela Jolie's father? You're talking about what's his name? Christopher Walken.
He was a cowboy.
Right.
Christopher Walken.
And Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman, all right. I have to bow to you then.
It's Dustin Hoffman and Angelina Jolie's father. What's his name?
That's Christopher Walken. Paul Walken. What the hell is his name?
That's not a father. It's
John Voight. It's John Voight.
Okay, my mistake. John Voight. Listen, they look alike to me. Come on, man.
That was John Voight. Remember that movie.
Okay. Well, you got me. See, I messed up my own. All right, the next one. Fill your hand, you SOB.
What's that?
Fill your hand, you SOB.
Was that, let's see, wait a minute, that's coming to me. That was,
I have no clue.
Fill your hand, you SOB.
Wasn't Wired Earth.
It was a Planet of the Apes, was it?
It's a Western.
A Western,
yeah.
Okay.
And it was
not Wide Earth. Fill your hand, you SOB.
That was, Kurt Russell?
No,
the most classic cowboy.
It was a classic.
It's a classic cowboy actor.
But if you take Kurt Russell as Snake Plissken,
Yes. You're on the right track.
Okay, so therefore, old school. Not John Wayne.
John Wayne. John Wayne. Fill your hand, you SOB.
Right.
Who's he talking to?
I mean, so, hey, he said that in all the movies, because he's killed every one of the guys. So that would have to be where he was the guy that came back to town because his mother was killed or ransom taken.
Was that True Grit?
No.
True Grit.
No.
That's the son of Katie Elder.
True Grit. That's right. It was
True Grit. True Grit. And what was John Wayne's character name?
He had one eye.
Rooster Cogburn.
Huh?
Right.
Was it Rooster?
Yep. Right. Rooster Cogburn. And who was he talking to when he said, fill your hand?
I don't know.
Richard Boone?
Sweet Ned Pepper, Little Ned Pepper, played by Robert Duvall.
Okay. All right. Well, wasn't Richard Boone in that too?
Huh?
Was Richard Boone in that?
The singer was in that. Not Pat Boone. The other
Richard
singer.
Richard Boone.
No. That's the one where they shoot out in the bar. That's the one where they had the bar fight with Richard Boone.
With Richard Boone.
Okay, let's get this last two then.
Okay.
What is it? Do you expect me to talk?
That's James Bond.
Do you expect me to talk?
I expect you to die, Mr. Bond.
And then James Bond.
Right. No, Mr.
Goldfinger.
Bond, I expect you to die.
Angela Jolie's father.
Okay.
Finger. Go ahead.
I think that's about it. I don't have the other three on here. I forgot what the other three I had was. But that'll hold us. What about who said this? We're bigger than U.S. Steel.
Oh, I played that already. I just played that. As a matter of fact, hold on, let me go right here, and I'll play it again for you. That was said to Michael Corleone.
And what was the character that said it?
The character that said
it. Not the actor, but the character.
Yeah, the character was, I'm getting there.
H.R.
Yeah. God, what was the name of that? Hyman Roth.
Hyman Roth.
So here's
the final question for you, then, because you like movie trivia. It's a trick question.
Uh-huh.
Who said, top of the world, huh?
White Heat. Jimmy Tagman. White Heat said that.
Top of the world, yeah.
Yeah.
He was up there by himself.
Yeah, but who else?
Who else?
They reused it in what film?
Oh, I don't know. What film?
Titanic.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
You know, I show you how much I paid attention to that movie.
Yeah, when he jumped up on top of the prow of the ship.
This is a load of garbage. He's jumping on top of that. That was the end of that. I mean, I wouldn't be saying. Well, we are almost at. Why do you say we're almost at the end here? We're almost at the end. Because we are almost at the end. I want to thank everybody for playing movie trivia. And
it was good.
I want to have something for you. Listen to this. Now, how about that? They fought me. They're all. Who said that? Mr. Bernard, who said that?
I can't hear it. I didn't hear it.
You didn't hear it?
I'm going to need to. Well,
we are almost out of time, so I can't play it.
Okay,
we'll
I'll listen when I come over.
We'll play it again next week.
All right.
And that will be the story. For us this week, I think this was great. We got to do this again.
Thank you, big guy.
Of course,
it was great. Thank you for having me, Mike.
Well, hey, you know, maybe I'll have you for dinner. As
good night.
that'll be cool.
Hey,
okay.
Good, light way to end.
This was.
Some dark stuff earlier.
And we're going off the air, so everybody
have a happy
Labor Day. Be safe.
I said to myself, this is the business we've chosen. Michael, we're bigger than U.S. Steel.